Welcome to BTB NXT. Normally we don't start the show off on a somber note, but for this episode, before we start, I kind of wanted to give a quick PSA on a very serious problem that has been plaguing our country, which is the problem of on-campus tramplings at high schools. I know a lot of the kids, when they get back after this quarantine, after the time of all the schools been closing, they're going to be very excited. And I just want to know, because I know we have a very large audience of high school age kids. That is our main audience on this podcast. So I just want to make sure, kids, when you go back to school, please, no tramplings. This is especially a problem in the northeastern United States. Let's just make sure. I just want to take a few minutes before we get into the normal fun that we have on this podcast to just address this issue, because I don't think it gets talked about enough. So please, kids, when we return to school, no trampling, okay? Let's keep it to zero tramplings. But on that note, welcome to PTB NXT. I am Jake. It has been a little while since we have done PTB NXT, but we do this only once a month. So it's been a little while since I've talked to my my two co-hosts, my Rosebuds. So I'll introduce them now. Tim Capel and Jennifer Smith. How are y'all?
Doing good. Thank you so much for that PSA. Important words that needed to be said in this time.
Yeah, thank you. So. I mean, thank you for having the courage to address this national crisis. I would just, not to dwell on this topic, I know it is very sensitive, but I would implore our listeners to watch the documentary Mean Girls to see how damaging this can be.
Excellent.
Yeah. So well said, Jacob. Thank you for that.
Thank you. I thought it was our responsibility to shed some light, given our status, you know.
Yeah, our platform that we have here.
You're right. So we are fresh off of Mother's Day. One thing I was going to discuss with you guys before we get into NXT is I realized over the weekend that Mother's Day is kind of a low-key fat shit holiday that I didn't really realize. I don't know if you... I didn't really realize. I feel like it hit me this Mother's Day. Maybe it's just because I was home all day and everything. But so for one, because cake. So obviously cake is usually involved. And then I kind of realized that breakfast slash brunch food is apparently like the go-to on Mother's Day, which is not the healthiest food. Like we did pancakes and, you know, various meats and that sort of thing. So I don't know. Do you guys agree with that?
No. Yeah. Usually what we do is we go out for Mother's Day. So that way none of the mothers have to cook. So we usually go to this place in my hometown that has a buffet, and it is fat shit city. Like just, you know, it's a buffet. So nothing else needs to be said about that. So this year, I was determined that I was going to not cheat on my diet for Mother's Day. I was going to stay strong. Mm-hmm. And then I just didn't do that. And just instead ate like a fat shit with various amounts of cake, like you said. And brunch, which I made, which consisted of omelets and pancakes and bacon and mimosas.
Yep.
Very good.
All great things. All things that moms love. I think moms are very big on brunch and mimosas and breakfast in bed. Get your breakfast foods in there any way you can. So, yeah, I can definitely understand the appeal of Mom's Day as a low-key fat shit paradise holiday. And even if you're getting away from sort of the breakfast genre that you mentioned, there's also the cookout aspect of it. I think that a lot of, not so much this year, certainly, for reasons that I can't imagine that we could describe, not a whole lot of big family functions going on right now, but in years past, you know, you have the big barbecue, have a cookout, and say what you will about the quality of the food that is being produced on these occasions, but there's always like too much of it, you know? So you're going to be stuffed in your face like all day. And yeah, same situation with Father's Day. Maybe to not the same extent, because I mean, let's face it, nobody goes out for Father's Day. What are you going to do? I mean, that's never happened. Nobody takes their dad out for Father's Day. No. Hence Mother's Day being the busy.
I mean,
day
I definitely don't, but that was dark. I get it.
That was dark. But you never hear about restaurants really complaining about, oh, the crowds on Father's Day, you know. But that'll be coming
moms
up.
Moms cook, you know.
Yeah, that'll be adjacent to this. Yeah, moms yeah. cook, dads get cooked for, or
yeah, dads take moms
the grill,
out.
Whatever. Yeah. Yeah, dads take moms out. I would just, while we're on this topic and this pre content discussion that we're having here, do you think that any of our listeners, most of whom, as you pointed out, Jake, are high school students? Yes. Tune into this podcast and have been doggedly listening since our first episode going, I am really pumped for some serious, no-nonsense discussion about where NXT was in 2014. I am ready to dive into this. I want to take down some star ratings. I want to compare and contrast with my own. And do you think that since that first episode, they have tuned into subsequent episodes of this podcast and just kind of sighed and thought to themselves, well, I hope it goes better than last time.
Well, I would hope so. Although I find our episodes very enjoyable. So,
well, they're enjoyable for us.
Yeah. And that's all that really matters, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
I would do it first.
like a good wrestling show, you got to have the variety. I think the youth, they like the irreverence that we bring
the youth,
at times.
Yeah.
The youth. The youngsters like the irreverence. And I think we have a nice mix of hard-hitting
analysis.
Alvarezian analysis mixed with, our typical nonsense.
Alvarezian.
I would agree with that, yes.
Yeah, so... But yeah, so we should probably give the kids what they want and get into the...
Yeah, let's get to it.
All right. So we are covering... So we left off with the... I think we're all in agreement that TakeOver... I keep wanting to call it TakeOver, but it wasn't TakeOver. Arrival was a pretty awesome show. I think we're all pretty high on it. And so we start with the following week, March 6th, 2014... So this is a big episode too, because this, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is the first episode, like regular episode on the network. And so we get a brand new intro, a new song. So a whole new package, if you will, for this network debut, this regular weekly NXT TV. And so to start off this first episode after Arrival, we have our new champion, Adrian Neville, is out to face the almighty Camacho in our opener on this episode. He even gets the ring announcer even gives him the already in the ring treatment, where they actually say on the mic that he's already in the ring, for Camacho. Yes. Yeah. Already in the ring, Camacho. So
jobber
even
treatment.
complete jobber treatment. He is in khaki slacks.
Of course.
There's a lot of talk on commentary, even as Neville's coming out, about Cena giving him the rub after his title win. And I liked Regal is already starting to push. So, of course, our favorite William Regal is on commentary. Thank God.
Yes.
And we have many gems, many gems to come in these in this batch. But he points out already that Neville has no friends, that now he's the champ. And he kind of just generally puts over Neville's position as like the top guy now, that he has no friends and everybody's gunning for him. This was pretty much just a quick squash, but I like the placement of it, because it immediately reminds us right after Arrival that he is the new champion. It's kind of like, I feel like this is something they did in the early days of Raw. Like, for some reason in my mind, I have this as like an old Bret Hart thing. Like, where Bret Hart would come in and it would be like the opening match on Raw, and it wasn't like the greatest or anything, but it just kind of beat somebody real quick, and it kind of immediately puts back into our mind that he is the champ. He's the new champ. Here's your guy. Here's a quick win. This is why he's awesome. So I went one star in the match, but as a general like idea of how to open the show, I thought it was effective.
Yeah, but you get that great interview in the ring with Renee
Okay.
Young after the match,
Yeah, I have some issues.
definitely bumps it to a 2-star match. Like you
Yeah.
said, like
Oh, wow.
Camacho or whatever's face, he's
Okay.
whatever. Like
Camacho.
it's whatever.
Camacho.
He's in his dress pants. Like he didn't even bother to get dressed out for this wrestling match. It doesn't, I mean, like it's
His
fine. Just gonna get
he
dressed.
dresses like every match is a street fight. That's
Yeah.
his attire, dude.
We do get the sweet red arrow for the win, which I do really
Yep.
love that move. And I
Yep.
never get tired of that. He pulls it off. It's so beautiful. But then Renee is talking to him after the match, and
Yes.
he admits that he doesn't look like your typical champion.
Does.
I look like some crazy elf man, he says, to my utter delight. Because he does. He really does look like that. And then he asks her, "Can you even understand what I'm saying?"
Yes.
Because his accent. I mean, I don't have any trouble understanding him. Do you guys?
No, I can't say I do.
No, I think he sounds fine, but he's sort of like really showing off some personality that we hadn't seen before. Like,
Well, we must speak fluent Joldy, Jenny.
yes. So I really enjoyed that part of him being able to talk a little bit, because mostly what we've seen of him is like pretty standard as far as on the mic. I mean, he's good, but this was like a fun different side of him. So I give the match 2 stars.
Okay. Well, you by your own admission, it included
It
the
did, yes,
post
definitely.
match. Yeah, fair enough.
And even worse stuff happened too.
Yes, I will say that I did not factor the post match interview into my rating. I also gave it just a star, not damning by any means. And like you, Jenny, I always mark out for that red arrow. I think seeing that in a match, looking as great as it does and hits so flush like it is here, is always worth at least a star, right?
For sure.
So that's kind of my rationale there. We also, to Jake's point, haven't seen Neville in this kind of just out and out squash in quite some time, I feel like. And yeah, it is. I hadn't thought of it that way, but it is a little bit reminiscent of the Bret Hart. Here's just a, I don't even think this is a title match. I sure hope it isn't,
No, can't
given
be.
my understanding. But he's just out here having a decent exhibition match, reminding you why he's the champion, and he just won the championship. So let's give him a little showcase here and just have him put this job, this sort of name jobber away, essentially. I'm all for it. And it means a lot more now that he is the champion. On the interview, don't get me wrong. I mean, I thought it was kind of funny, but just sort of in the wrong way. Like, there's, I definitely laugh, but I'm like, I don't think I should be laughing at, yeah, I feel like I'm more laughing at this guy than laughing with him. It
That's what
just
I.
felt like that. Go ahead.
No, it's just, that's what I was going to ask y'all. Like the same thing. And you're kind of hitting on it already, Tim. But like, what? Because it's like very self-deprecating, his whole promo. And I kind of get where Tim's going with it. So you were kind of already explaining, Tim. But like, so how do you feel about that he's kind of making fun of himself in the promo?
If this wasn't a thing that they did a lot into pretty poor effect, I would maybe be more forgiving of it. But it just came across as that sort of typical bad, like nonsensical forced WWE humor. You know, it's like, oh my God, this is wrestling. Perish forbid that our champion is this incredibly skilled competitor. He's like, looks like he's chiseled from granite. His physique is so
Yeah,
impressive, but
exactly.
he's not conventionally attractive. So let's have him come out here and do like a whole bunch of self-owns to try to. It's just sort of facetiously burying the guy to address his weaknesses. And it's just like such a lazy fallback that they do a lot of times when they feel like somebody has something that's going to be pointed out as a liability. It's so the opposite of that sort of Heyman philosophy of accentuate the positives and hide the weaknesses. Certainly, I don't really think Neville has a lot of weaknesses. At the end of the day, yeah, I guess you could say his ears sit a little funny on his head, but what does that have to do with
like a crazy elf man?
Yeah, I mean, we're acting like he's like, my God, this mangled castle freak, how can he be our champion?
But legit, those are thoughts that I've had about him. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I enjoyed that pandering to me as a fan because I have had these thoughts that he's talking about. So
it doesn't make you question his ability.
It doesn't bother me. Like, I enjoyed it. I thought it was cute.
Yeah, I was on the fence about it because I was trying to decide, like, what I'd want more. Because if he doesn't go into all that, and it's kind of how the promo starts, it's very kind of boilerplate, easy for me to say, like face promo, like the title's validation, anything is possible, you can overcome sort of thing. And then he gets it. Yeah, so it's like, I was kind of on the fence of like, I guess if that's the alternative, I don't mind him at least giving some specifics that maybe we can connect with. But I also see Tim's point in that whether he says or not, we kind of know what he looks like and like know that, you know, like Jenny said, these are things
not
that she
to
thinks.
Notice.
Yeah. Like that Jenny said, she notices these things, whether he points them out or not. So then part of me is like, so should he even really point it out or should he kind of just roll with it knowing that we all know this, but he's like, look, I'm just going to play it off like I'm a badass. I'm on the fence. I kind of see it both ways.
All right, hear me out. Mm-hmm. Okay, we know how Bo has been as a champion, where he is in complete denial about how the audience feels about him and his reign as champion. So I think that Neville's tactic of being realistic and honest and a little bit funny, you know, to balance out the creepiness that we've had from Bo Dallas, who most everybody hates.
That's a good point. Good contrast. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I can see the rationale and showing a little bit of personality, showing some humor, leaning into these things that, let's face it, we all have seen and noticed and sort of joked about. I just thought they pushed that button maybe a little too hard, especially for his first promo as champion. You know what I mean? Like, we're already on board with the guy. We saw him win the title. He's already pretty over. Granted, yes, he does need more of a personality. I would totally agree with that. I thought they went a bit far, especially with the whole, can you even understand what I'm saying? Like, come on. We're not, it just felt like treating people like morons. Like, yes, of course we understand. Like, we're not.
Maybe if he would have been, a little more general with it and been like, look, I know I don't sound like all of you. I don't look like a normal champ. Like maybe if he would have done it that way and not completely semi buried his appearance.
semi buried his appearance.
Yeah.
I don't know. And at the same time, I'm sort of like, part of me just wants them to not even go there only because aren't we already kind of doing this thing already with Paige where she's supposed to be the unconventional champion? She's like, well, I'm just going to say it. She's like, oh, I'm so not hot, but she's super hot kind of thing. And she already gave
Paige
that.
Hasn't been around. We've seen her wrestle one time. So
yeah, we've seen her wrestle one time and give that one promo.
Yeah, so it's fine. What did you guys think of Bo showing up too?
Yeah, that's what I was going to get to. So we just talked about it. So Bo shows up. I thought it was funny. There was a Pocahontas sign in the crowd, which was pretty funny. And he just comes out, cuts off Neville. He says that Neville didn't pin him at Arrival. He climbed a ladder like a dad cleaning the gutters, which is a very weird and cheesy, but very Bo line.
Yes.
And he basically says that he's immediately activating his rematch clause. So already, like, right after, I mean, this is like the first segment of NXT after their match. They already have this, like, quick turnaround, and we already know this is what they're going back to. So it's a very quick turnaround that we know that there's going to be a rematch, like that this is going to be the title feud continuing.
Well, it's obvious, but fine. Mm-hmm. You know, there's still more there to mine. You know, they're not done quite yet.
Yeah. Good little TV build. I know that the champion, the former champion cashing in his rematch clause has become a bit cliche, but it's expected. So you sort of do want to see a rematch between these guys, not on a pay-per-view-esque type event, but just to have something, a good solid main event for weekly television or the equivalent of television on the network. So yeah, it gives us something to give a little build to. I'm pumped for that.
Yeah, I have no problem with it. I was almost saying it as a positive, like that they're focused, like they already know where they're going with it, as opposed to just Neville comes out and like, well, Neville's the champ. We kind of already have a focus of where he's going, which like, where it seems like they have a plan, which I always like.
And Bo does have a bit of a loophole when he says that Neville didn't pin him. He just climbed the ladder. It's valid. So it leaves it, you know, leaves it a little bit open ending. So he can eventually get a pin on Bo.
Okay. So after that, we go backstage and we have Emma cutting a promo. She said that Paige is tough, but she's going to be the champ. And then Ric Flair walks up to her. He says the next champ will be his daughter. And I put that at this point, it looked like Rick had a little Tennille Dashwood in his pants as he walked up to Emma. And so Charlotte comes on screen with her dad. And one thing I put in here is that Charlotte looks so tall compared to everyone.
She is a giant.
She's towering over everyone. She said she's there for Emma. And then Emma kind of stares blankly around and doesn't really engage her at first. And then she does the thing like kids do, like the make you flinch thing, where she tries to make Charlotte flinch. And then the Flares just kind of laughed at her. It was the whole thing was very odd.
So weird.
Emma Wooston. Who's going to take you down? Peak giggly Ric Flair here.
Yes. Charlotte talking about, are you in there? Emma, you're so dumb. Are you in there? I love her. I love Charlotte. I don't give a fuck. She could be a mean cunt ass bitch, and I'm just going to eat it up. I don't care.
On the record there.
Yep. C-A-B. But, yeah, it was definitely entertaining. It was just odd because it's like you said, Charlotte is so serious and mean, and then Emma's just staring, and then Rick's giggling.
Well, we're gonna see, I mean, Ric Flair notwithstanding here, is this really begins the evolution of Charlotte, where she is gonna kind of become the Charlotte that she is now. This definitely feels already like a departure from, you know, the BFF stuff with her and Sasha and Summer Rae. And there's going to be more to be said on this as we go, but already it feels a little bit different. Just her being out there, this power flex, and say what you will, but being there with Ric Flair, I mean, that he definitely adds a lot to it. And
it does.
Call it nepotism, and yes, it absolutely is, but it's also effective. So
sure. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. But we'll, this is not the last we'll see of her on this, on these shows. So we'll come back to Charlotte in a minute. So we have another interview. This is still the women's, our divas, whatever they're still calling it, champion Paige. She says that there was no doubt, but Emma gave her a fight at Arrival and that she respects her. And then again, Ric Flair shows up to accost Paige. Also again with Charlotte. And so Charlotte basically, it was pretty basic after that, leading to a stare down. But one note I had is that Charlotte, I found in this part, not in the last part with Emma, but in this Paige segment, I found she was talking with a very weird ass cadence. Like, it was like she was trying to give, like, I guess, do like a promo cadence, but I didn't really understand what she was trying to go for. She just had a lot, it seemed just like random pauses here and there. And I guess she was just trying to kind of have an attitude, but to me, it just came off a little weird, but it was pretty basic. And, seeing a Paige Charlotte stare down is pretty cool, especially in retrospect.
It was hot.
Yeah. Yeah. I am sad to report that I checked. I alluded to in our arrival episode that I felt like we got a Charlotte Page match, but as far as I can tell, this, spoiler alert, does not happen here in NXT.
Oh, shit.
And that just seems like a shame, right?
Yeah, that sucks. I was looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of a running, like, especially, I'll get to it as we go, but that was a running theme through these shows for me, is like the star power, like looking back in the women's division, just on these three episodes, where like the matchups that we see here are just kind of like, wow, that's insane that this is just like a random NXT in 2014. But yeah, so we go to the ring, and of course we have a women's match. So Renee joins everyone on commentary, and her and Regal are just collie wobbling the shit out of each other.
Regal looks googly so eyes. Hot. He has long hair. He looks so good. Just saying.
I think Renee agrees with you, because she was totally into him.
Yeah, we get Renee back out on commentary, which we weren't doing for a while, and now it's sort of two steps forward, one step back here.
She gets a men's match later on in her
episode. She does. That's true. That's worth noting.
Yeah. So we have Emma versus Charlotte. Regal's dancing to Emma's music because he's just having a good time. Emma's still doing the stabbing and the dancing. And Sasha's with Charlotte. And they have this, and this will continue to come up, but they have Summer Rae like on a popsicle stick, basically. Mm-hmm. Like a picture of Summer Rae's head on a popsicle stick. I don't really know why completely. I don't know if y'all caught on. It's like,
hopefully Summer Rae is dead.
I'm trying to remember what was
going on. Did she not get injured?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I can't say. I can't even begin to speculate, to be honest with you.
I hope we never see her again.
I don't think we do. I really don't.
She's not on these. All we see on these episodes is her on a stick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're still sort of carrying that flame, I guess, for Summer Rae in the form of this head on a stick. But they're not going to keep that up, I guess, for too much longer. So it's fun, question mark, while it lasts.
Yeah, I guess we'll see if she ever returns. All right, so this match, I put in the beginning, lots of wrist locks and like jockeying and mat work. So Charlotte pretends, well, at first we don't know she's pretending, but she seemingly hurts her ankle. Sasha distracts, and then we find out Charlotte is bluffing, and then she catches Emma with I don't know what you'd call this move.
The
like
natural selection.
Ah.
Not yet named. Does she still do this move? I feel like she's sort of phased
it. I don't think I've seen it.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen
it. Oh, yeah. I remember this being a big part of her arsenal.
It was pretty hot.
In the early days. Yeah, it was sort of it was kind of like a secondary finisher. And here, I mean, she hasn't developed the figure eight. Well, maybe she's doing the figure eight. We just haven't really seen it. But yeah, I remember her doing this move quite a lot. It's been a while, I feel like, since I've seen it. So she's maybe moved on from that. But looks pretty cool. Looks pretty impactful. Mm-hmm. And I thought this was great, by the way. This was just such a convincing fake out by Charlotte, mm-hmm. who, again, is developing her character, becoming more the Charlotte that we know today. And this feels like a move right out of the Queen's playbook as we know her now. And I was really impressed by this. I mean, say what you will about sort of the basic mat work leading up to it, but the finish sort of made it all worth it for me. I'll just say I went 2 stars on this.
Wow. I did too, actually. Renee says that Charlotte is the dirtiest diva in the game. Mm-hmm. And Charlotte makes her point for her in this match, but like you said, so well. They even do replays of the quote-unquote ankle injury, and it does look sort of fucked up. So, she either like toughed it out and really did get hurt and then played it up. I don't know, but she was excellent in this and just makes me love her even more, if that is possible.
Yeah, I went 1.5. I really thought the ankle thing was executed well. I just think it was hurt a little bit more for me by the beginning part, where it looked like they were just, the beginning to me was extremely like dull, and it looked like they didn't really know what they were doing at all, and they were just kind of meandering around. So I like that they went to the ankle thing, because it was a lot better than what they were doing in the beginning, and it does, and they're really, really, really pushing the dirtiest diva in the game thing, like, to relate it back to Rick, which, like we said, it's like Tim said earlier, it's kind of like constantly having to relate her to her dad. But at this point, it's not the worst thing, because she's just trying to, you know, get started. So I don't have any problem with it, really.
Yeah. Like, we know she's Charlotte Flair, so you might as well just do it.
If you're you can play it up, and then she can hold up to it. You know what I mean? She's not, she doesn't suck, so it's fine, in my opinion.
It's not like she's Eric Watts out here.
Exactly.
Yeah. what a computer. Okay.
Eric Watts.
All right, but that was that. We rapidly moving forward, we go to Renee, who asks backstage with Sami Zayn, and she asks him what Cesaro told him, and all he says is that it's personal, but he got what he wanted. A very mysterious answer from Sammy. We don't really know what he's talking about. Maybe Cesaro's respect. Who knows?
Yeah, what do we think he said that was so personal to Sammy here?
I love you, Sammy. Run away with me. You're my one true love. I can't live without you.
Said my mother died in a school trampling.
I think that comes up on the next episode.
Oh, good.
There you go. All right. We also backstage see Corey Graves, who is walking by a wall, and he's very brooding, or he wants us to think that he is very brooding. He's kind of like, I guess, like, I don't know, you'd say it, like caressing his fingers on the wall. I think he was kind of mouthing something to himself, just trying to look very...
So emotional.
Angsty. He went full Raven.
Yes.
That was great.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow.
I'm going to be alone on this. I know. It's fine.
So dark.
I know. So brooding and emo.
You have any thoughts on Corey touching the wall, Tim, before we get to the match?
Looks like he smells, as always.
Yes. Right.
Looks like he should be starring in a horror porn film on Netflix.
Yes. Where the walls come.
Yes.
Yeah. Where the electrical outlets ejaculate.
Impoverish CM Punk.
Very much.
Yeah. So our match is Yoshitatsu versus Corey Graves. So I guess Corey eventually made his way out to the ring. I thought Yoshi had a fun song. I like the song. And Regal says he's full of fighting spirit, which was Regal. It's something I noticed throughout this. He is just doing whatever he can to help these guys. Like,
I know.
He's like every guy, he tries to give them something. Like,
yeah, he does.
Then Corey Graves comes out. I thought his theme song sounded like a crappy Nine Inch Nails knockoff kind of song, which fits him, fits his character. They kept saying he's very sinister, which he's not at all. he's the opposite.
How dare you?
And they also, this is a nice 2014 throwback, that they said he's been very active on Tout lately.
I noticed that too.
Which, if I could somehow find those Corey Graves Touts, I can only imagine what kind of brooding bullshit.
Do you need a camera for Tout?
Yeah. That went through my mind when he said it. There's a part of that have. I would message Corey Graves on Twitter and ask him if you need
Please
us.
Please do.
Maybe two inside for our listeners.
The high school.
Probably not, though.
Our audience wasn't alive when that reference was created.
So,
yeah, kids, before TikTok and before Vine, there was Tout. Wow. Were you a big Tout user back in the day, Jake?
Fuck. Oh, I was.
Never. Never. I could never figure out if I needed a mic or a camera.
Camera.
I just couldn't figure it out.
Common problem.
Yeah. That seemed to be the big issue. Their user base.
They call me Graves.
You mentioned Yoshi Tatsu's music being rather fun. And it is fun.
Very rousing.
And that sort of demeaning. I just found it very like, okay, here's a Asian wrestler, so we have to give him a vaguely Asian-sounding entrance
speech. Seems right.
But let's make it fun.
Yeah.
And they treat him like shit here. I mean, he looks like such a loser.
Yeah.
So, shall we? Okay, so Corey cuts a pre-match promo introducing himself. He starts complaining that he was on arrival, and he buries Yoshi, saying that he's a guy who still thinks he can be a superstar, which is very ironic coming out of Corey Graves' mouth, considering where his career would go as far as being an actual wrestler. Then he runs down Sami Zayn, and I have to say he's very annoying, but I do want him to get beat up. I don't know if it's the reasons they want, but I definitely do want him to get beat up. So I guess as a heel, that's something. Okay, so he stalls, and basically he says he doesn't need to do this. He threatens to leave, but Yosh goes after him, but then eats a fist and then goes into the steps, and then Corey Graves goes in, and Yoshitatsu gets counted out. So like Tim said, he looks like a complete fool. Really not a match, but I guess probably better than Corey Graves wrestling. Like I said, he does have heat. I don't know if it's good heat or not. He starts beating up poor Yoshi after. But we'll get to Sami Zayn comes out to the rescue. And it looked like Sammy was laughing at Corey Graves when he came out. But, all right. So thoughts on this whole deal?
It's so funny because when I went to grade it, I was like, dud. And then I was like, eh. Mm-hmm. And then I wrote one, and then I wrote out beside it, because I don't know. Like you said, it's not a match, but it's some sort of story at some point. Yeah. We're moving this forward to the Sammy thing, so I couldn't give it nothing. But you know, y'all are harsh on Corey Graves. I'm enjoying this, what he's doing, in a total. I don't know what kind of way, but I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying that I'm enjoying it because I think it's funny. And he's, he doesn't know what to do, and that makes me laugh.
Yeah. I think my feelings on him as a wrestler kind of bleed through to him as a character. Maybe, and I'm maybe being a little harsh on him because of that. But we'll see his in-ring work later. But sorry, Tim, what you got?
I don't hate him as a character. I think there is some potential to this. There's something you can do with that. And so help me, I can't believe he's saying this, but he kind of does have a valid point in calling out Sammy and saying, you know, when's the last time you won a match? So
that is true.
Why don't you prove yourself? And I mean, we know that Sami Zayn is extremely talented and puts on tremendous matches, but just in the context of the wrestling show that we're watching, wins and losses are in theory pretty important. Mm-hmm. So let's do something with this.
I mean, nobody brings up Corey Graves' wins and losses in the course of this either.
Yeah.
Does I that matter, not. You know?
I can't say I've necessarily been keeping a scorecard, but I feel like he's not been real impressive either in that column. So we've got basically two losers who are going to fight it out.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
But we're hyped for it, right?
Yeah, he got himself a TV show main event out of this.
Right,
so
exactly.
Good on him. I'm tempted to give this 3 stars just on the basis of we didn't have to see a Corey Graves match. But ultimately, I just went dud since it isn't really a match. But, I mean, am I feeling terrible about this like I do usually after seeing Corey Graves? No.
Good. So, improvement. Yeah.
I just to prove I'm not totally biased and
yes, very well done. Here. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, I mean, I hate Corey Graves, but this was not a bad use of him.
There we go.
Yeah. So we basically get that Sammy tells them that they can have their match tonight if that's what Corey wants. All right. So okay. A big moment coming up next.
Yes.
We have the Adam Rose launch party.
Oh,
so Adam Rose looks very similar to Leo Kruger that we saw many weeks ago.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, kind of weird. I wonder if they're related. So we get invited to the Adam Rose party. I put that this was something you might normally need a monthly subscription to watch. And okay.
Like what, Jake?
Like a I don't know, like a site that offers premium niche content.
Right.
Only like, for fans.
Yes, exactly. So I guess the whole way you describe this, it's like a rave with people in costumes and no one explicitly doing drugs, but one would think that they are most likely doing drugs because in the real world, people in this environment would definitely be doing drugs. And I feel like if this was an angle in like 1999, it would have definitely been implied that they were like having orgies or something.
Would have been raves in 1999, right?
Yes, for sure. But
drop an X.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he says it's epic Jurassic proportions. This
trade
party.
Candy.
Jurassic proportions. So it's basically just like a big rave with furries and, you know, people in leather suits. And it definitely was. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm sure it's just a wholesome costume party, you guys.
Yeah, it totally is. It looked like Braun Strowman was in a gladiator costume at this party. He was like the bouncer for the VIP section. And he's like, let her in. I swear it was Braun Strowman.
I could not stop during this, like trying to figure out if any of these people were like future like wrestlers in WWE.
And just, you know, peep that part.
I feel like it was.
It looked like him.
Oh, my God. All right, we have to verify this now because our listeners will demand it.
Well, I could take a picture and send it to you guys and see what you
think. I saw it too, and I thought the same thing. So I feel like we both thought it, then we have to be correct. I mean, we have
obviously, if we both think something, it's correct.
Yes, confirmed. In 2014, he made appearances as one of Adam Rose's Rosebuds and is exotic expressive.
T&I, Jenny.
Thank you.
I thought it too. I didn't have the courage to say anything though, unlike Jenny. So
well, I have the courage of Jack Daniels.
It's kind of hard to focus because there's like so much stimuli in the Adam Rose party going on.
Yeah.
And I found that there was every time they would cut to him in the back, it was like there was like this piercing noise. And I don't know if it was just all the music blending into like one piercing noise. Yeah. But I don't know. But what did y'all think of it? I thought it was, I mean, it's definitely interesting. It was cool enough, I guess, for.
I think it kind of plays better as a vignette than.
Yes.
It does sort of in the arena, such as it is.
No, I think they do a good job later at carrying this vibe with them to the arena.
Yeah, I kind of want to take on that because a lot of this is maybe me through hindsight looking at sort of the failure of this on the
Oscar.
And I have my issues are not with the vignettes, which I think are done. I think the interest is fine. I will get to my issues come when he gets in the ring. Is where I think things kind of.
I'm a little similar, I think. Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's get to it then.
All right. Well, before we have to address the somber Xavier Woods, who's backstage.
Oh.
And
he
says that Rusev is Ivan Drago, so call him Creed, except he won't die. And then Rusev comes on in Bulgarian, not Vulgarian, Bulgarian and translates.
No,
and basically,
Lana was speaking Vulgarian.
Yes.
You can ask Kofi. You can ask Kofi. But basically, he accepts the challenge, so we can look forward to that next week. Okay, so let's get back to, unless anybody has any passionate thoughts about the Xavier Woods promo, we'll get to Adam's match.
I just like Woods calling him an Ivan Drago
looking piece of garbage.
Yeah, because he looks so similar to Ivan Drago.
Yes.
The Aryan,
and also X looks kind of like a piece of garbage in this in our match.
Hadn't been looking great here.
No, it has not.
Last few shows.
You know, Rusev with his bleach blonde hair. And
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so. All right, so Adam Rose is coming out to face Wesley Blake. He has his full entrance, which is very over from the start. The crowd is super into it. You can tell they really are putting a lot of effort into this, at least by like NXT standards from what we've seen so far, because a lot of the entrances have been a little lackluster, to say the least. He has cool tights. Yeah, I thought his entrance was good. I think the entrance works okay. So before I get to the match, thoughts on the entrance? Because we kind of mentioned this when we did the vignette.
No, I like it. It's really fun. Like, the girls are hot and everybody's really into it. The commentators are into it. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to go join the party too. And I don't know. I think it kind of gets, like you said, the crowd really liked it. So I think it kind of gets over.
I think my issue actually wasn't the presentation so much as the commentators, actually, because they are really overbearing, like, to the point of being obnoxious. It just felt forced. Like, this is something that they could have let it speak a little bit more for itself, I think, but
yeah,
you've got this parade of clowns out here, and somehow all of a sudden we've swapped out Regal for Jacob, your good buddy, 4 out of 10, Sai.
Yes, that's it. That was very odd to me that he
it
came
is
out,
because yeah, he doesn't stick around the rest of the show. I think we get Regal back. So it's like, what happened here? So it's like 4 of these idiots talking about it. Oh, I'm going to be one of the Rosebuds. I want an invitation to this party. Just nonstop beating you over the head. Just like, shut up. God, you're just a bunch of fucking dudes.
Sure.
Like, nobody wants to hang out with you.
I am falling for all the gimmicks tonight, and y'all are all just like shitting all over them.
Oh, the gimmick itself could be great. It's just they make it so uncool by
just like being, Neville.
That's well, that was
Adam Rose commentary. I like this shit.
But something
it's just the commentary. It's just the commentary where it just got annoying, you know?
Yeah, like they're saying it's fun too much. And it's like, okay, if it's fun, just let it be fun. And like it's definitely like, and I think this is an example of it, like with the commentary. And I think it goes back to the kind of all the goofy stuff we see with like the Emma with the dancing and the goofy Ric Flair stuff. It's like, it seems to me that they're trying to build like an identity for NXT at this point that it's like fun. Like, it's not really, sometimes it is like when you have Sami Zayn and Cesaro, it's billed as this like serious athletic competition, but it seems like overall they want this to be this like, it's in a small arena, it's fun. They have fun gimmicks with dancing and music and all this stuff. And that kind of seems to be overall what they want to go for. And I think the Adam Rose thing definitely goes with that. And then the commentary is never like super serious about anything. It's more like, we're just having a good time. Like,
Yeah, that's fair. Mm-hmm. And I enjoy it, honestly. Mm-hmm. I think that's what makes it fun to watch for me, especially when it comes to commentary.
Mm-hmm.
I think where it becomes a problem for me to some extent is with a lot of these broad personalities that they are creating here, is there tends to be sort of a wide disconnect between the actual characters and the end ring. Like, what is, like, why does Adam Rose want to be a wrestler? You know what I mean? Like, where, and how does what he does as a wrestler have anything to do with, you know, this party character that he is? And I'm looking also at Emma, you know, and who we've talked about pretty exhaustively, I think, and somebody like CJ Parker too. Just what is, why are they even wrestlers? You know, it just feels like that very 90s cartoony type approach. And I will give you, and just so I don't sound like a fuddy-duddy here, I will give a counter example to where I think this really does work with somebody that we're going to see later. So Tim,
I think we're simpatico here, Tim.
Yeah, I was just going to mention. Yeah, that.
And
as
I think I'm on the same page.
I'll whet your appetite for a counter example to this, where, so just so it doesn't sound like I'm totally shitting on the concept of fun here, which I'm not
all
trying
right
to do.
Well, Jake, talk to me about Adam Rose in the ring.
Okay, yeah. So Adam Rose, he starts off, and this we'll come to see as one of his main moves, is he kind of does these rolls around his opponent, where he just kind of rolls around. He does a lot of goofy offense. Then he hits a good-looking spine buster. And I even put kind of like what Tim was saying earlier, I put in my notes, like kind of awkward overselling on commentary of like all of his goofy stuff. They're laying it on a little bit too thick for me. Like, I want them to say that he's fun and cool and everything, but when they push it so hard, it makes me, I don't know, maybe I'm just cynical and I just don't want to like it. But and then he wins, and I think this is another issue with him, is his finisher is this, I guess it's supposed to be a train, because he says choo-choo before he does it.
oh, it's I didn't catch that. Okay.
It's like a clothesline. He just runs and hits him with a clothesline. And so to me, this is my deal with the Adam Rose thing, is that I like the gimmick, I like the entrance, but to me he's very dull in the ring. And I'm not saying he has to come out and be like Cesaro or anything. Like, he right. can have fun offense, it just needs to be better and more engaging and not just him rolling around the ring. Like, he can still have fun offense, and I think the problem with him is, from what we've seen before when he was Leo Kruger, the brief bit we got, he's not the most versatile wrestler. Yes. So he does not have a huge arsenal. So he has to, you know, I think you need to make him a little bit more of a threat in the ring, or just make him look at least a little more competent in the ring. Cause then it'll kind of get him over better. Cause you're like, well, yeah, he's a, you know, a fun party guy, but when he gets in the ring, he does some goofy stuff, but he can still kind of kick ass a little bit. And I don't think that they got that over here. Like, he needs, a fun finisher, not just like a clothesline.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, or go in the other direction and make him almost less competent in the ring, but maybe sort of some kind of savant. I don't know, where, to your point, he has moves like he does an okay spine buster. Great. He does a clothesline, a spectacular clothesline as his finisher. You're like, that's pretty straightforward. And I'm like, if this is his character, then his finisher should be like the worm or something. Something really just ridiculous, kind of off the wall, showy, but just looks dumb and ineffective, but it's still a finisher because that's just the character. You know, this is what I mean when I speak to the disconnect between the character and the in-ring stuff. Like, if anything, we should be seeing more of that, you know, the dancing and the cartwheels or somersaults or whatever the hell he's doing rolling around the ring, and we just don't get a lot of that. So that's where I'm like, I don't know, it's not all there for me. It's not really connecting.
So you want more silliness in the ring, but with a finisher that looks more devastating than the clothes?
No, I don't.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that's what you just said.
No, I said his finisher should be like the worm or something ridiculous. Yeah.
I think that's what I said. Tim wants him to be like full on, like goofball, like I guess almost like a Santino kind of deal, right?
Yeah, I mean, if that's his character, then just let that be his character. I mean, it again doesn't answer the question, why does this guy want to be a wrestler? But it's more consistent than
he needs to be entertaining in the ring in some way, whether it be he's like super goofy, or it's ironic that he's a goofball because he can still like he's like a great wrestler, something. Because right now he just seems dull in the ring to me.
Interesting. I thought that his little somersault deal was pretty fun. And then his little, because it disorients the other guy, our favorite cowboy jobber, Wesley Blake. And
he's a real cowboy, Jenny.
He's a real cowboy, but he couldn't rope up our Adam Rose while he's doing like a ring of somersaults around him. You know, it's kind of, I thought that was kind of fun. He gets this sort of like swing type movement in the ropes where he sits on the ropes and then like kicks his legs out at the guy, kind of taunts him a little bit, and is, you know, a little bit fun. You know, just, it's not great, but it's not fun. So anyway, I thought he had that. I thought he had a good spear, spine buster, and I actually liked the clothesline. I thought it looked pretty good. So anyway, I am all in on that.
You're a rosebud.
I'm a rosebud.
You're a rosebud.
I gave it a star.
I'd like to be I'd like to be a rosebud, but I'm just not there yet.
All right.
There. What the hell did I give this? I gave it a star.
Okay.
Same star for me also. All right. We get our first of many Scooby-Doo WrestleMania mystery promos.
Have you guys watched this movie? I was dying to ask you.
I have not watched it.
I remember this being a thing, though, in 2014 that they were pushing. And I'm like, part of me is like, did they ever put this on the network? And I'm pretty sure they did.
Like, I think we should live watch this.
Yeah, that would be. Well, we need to track it. The reason it stood out to me is because, so when they first, because they start showing you like all the wrestlers in Scooby-Doo form, and like the major people look pretty decent, like seen and all, but when they got to like the lesser guys, it looked nothing like them. Like they showed the Miz and he had like extremely dark hair, looked nothing like
him. And Vince, Vince looked like the opposite of real.
The only problem with these types of things I find is that they could be like really funny if they actually just licensed out their likenesses and characters, even did, you know, the voice acting and let whoever does Scooby-Doo in 2014 just do this with WWE. But because they have to be so hands-on and so controlling, it's still that it feels very like in-house, you know, like all the other lame shit that they do where they try to be funny and they're not. And I'm like, man, I haven't seen it, but I hope it's not just that lame WWE humor. Remember when they did, what was it called? Camp WWE?
Yeah.
And it just sucked shit. even though, again, that concept could be really funny if they just let people who are funny do it. But they don't do that. So I don't know.
You were won over by a noted Fox News pundit, Brodus Clay, being in the Scooby-Doo movie.
You know, I guess I didn't catch that.
Brodus Clay.
That didn't get you in the door?
Wow. I might have to reassess my feelings on this now.
You were on Amazon trying to find the DVD for Scooby-Doo.
I gotta go look now. Yeah, I gotta lay out.
I need to watch this movie.
Yeah. All right. Bonus episode.
Yes. Our Patreon.
Honestly, yes.
Yeah.
If we could find the thing and not spend money on it, then that'd be pretty cool.
Okay. All right. So our big main event, Corey or Snorri Graves versus Sami Zayn. Another thing that they mentioned here that I don't know if it's come up or did I miss it? But yes.
You didn't give Snorri Graves the breathing room that it really deserves.
Sorry.
So, yeah, you laid Tim out on that one.
I didn't know it hit as hard as it did the first time.
Okay.
But apparently JBL is the commissioner, which this is the first I hear of this. And I feel like we've been watching these pretty in depth, and I don't remember them mention. Did they mention a rival that he was going to be the commissioner? And I just completely missed that. But
they've actually mentioned it a few times.
Yeah, I feel like I knew that.
Yep.
Well, he's the I think he's the general manager, right? Because there's such a difference.
Sorry.
Even though he hasn't shown up, we have not seen him for sure.
We have not. He's very a very absentee general manager. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I think we're all more used to William Regal. And they've got to be making that change pretty soon, I think. So, but no, that did not come as a revelation to me. I just, I know we haven't seen him, but it's been mentioned before at least.
Okay. All right. All right. So Corey Graves comes down. He's doing his very overdone snaky movements. So we start the match. One thing that popped me is that Regal, like, he's always trying to help these guys. He says Corey is a specialist of leg submissions. And I look at things like, yeah, Corey Graves. He's like the Dean Malenko of Master of 1,000 Holds, Corey Graves. Yes. Like, the submission specialist. Says he has a sterling reputation, and they say that he's the leader of the Filth Parade.
The Filth Parade.
I actually thought his chin lock, like that, I put a corkscrew chin lock. I have no idea what you actually call it. I thought that actually looked pretty good, that submission he locks in.
Yeah, you know, one of the early iterations of the SmackDown on PlayStation 2 series tells me that that is known as the Buffalo Sleeper, I believe.
Ah.
At least according to the game. Yeah, so we saw that a lot in this match.
Yeah, the crowd looked very bored during this match, I found, and I thought that was not a good sign. And this is where, even I think if I can get behind the Corey Graves character, like, okay, he does get heat, he is hateable, that's what he's supposed to do, he's a heel. He's in a match with arguably the, up there as maybe the best babyface to have in NXT with Sami Zayn, and he's getting this very long heat segment on Sami Zayn, and he's not getting anything from the crowd. Like, if he is really that good of a heel, you know, he can act like an asshole and people hate him when he's cutting promos, but he's got to be able to do it in the ring too. And I feel like the crowd was just not responding to him working over Sami Zayn because he's just not good at it. Like, I just thought he was limited on offense to me.
Well, I mean, a lot of submission work doesn't really get you a lot of cheers, honestly. I mean, it's just not super fun to watch for the most part. And he's the submission specialist, so that's what he goes for.
So, wow, that ring work by Corey Graves,
right?
Got me going. Yeah. So, I think he had the same match against Neville a few weeks back, and I shat pretty thoroughly on it. I think I gave it a full quarter star. For the same reason, because he's in there against somebody really talented and controlling most of the offense and yet not really being carried by the superior talent. So I sort of let that terrible rating rest entirely at Corey Graves' feet. I thought maybe I was a bit harsh on that one and perhaps a bit biased. And, you know, I'm very aware of my personal biases. Mm-hmm. So I tried to be a little bit more forgiving going into this and try to let the match, the story, speak for itself. That said, I was tremendously bored by Corey constantly going back to the well with this somewhat modified but still fairly boring looking sleeper. And I mean, the match just really doesn't move. It sort of plods along. And I did really enjoy the finish, though, with Sammy just totally outsmarting Corey Graves, outmaneuvering him as well at the same time, getting that, you know, I think the schoolboy roll-up pin is pretty overused, but that was not what we saw here. He gets the flash pin with that small package and really wraps him up, too, in that small package. It was like a very convincing pin, you know. And you saw it and think, yeah, Sammy is the better wrestler here. He should be able to pull this off, and he does. So I thought it kind of ended strong, even though, gosh, that middle stretch was quite the slog.
You just couldn't get any heat. Like, even in the near falls, I felt like the crowd was not popping for any of the near falls. And he got some good shine, too, because he kicks out of the Corey Graves kicks out of the Blue Thunderbomb, which I think is a good spot for him. Yeah, so I mean, it's not like I mean, they're giving him the opportunity, and this is a pretty long match. I think this match was, what, like 10 or 15 minutes? Like, it was...
He got a little bit of time.
Yeah, he got some time. So he's getting the spot, but it's just... I went 2 stars, because I didn't think it was, like, completely terrible. It just dragged. I think it could have been so much better.
Yeah, I give it 2.5, because once they get all over the submissions and blah, 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 and they're doing that, once Sammy starts actually wrestling... It really does pick up, like, very quickly and gets pretty fun, especially towards the end. And to their point earlier, when was the last time Sammy won a match? Well, Sammy won a match. And that is good to see.
Great point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed it after it picked up.
Well, look at me splitting the difference. I gave it 2.25.
So. All right. Wow. I like it.
Yeah. As often happens.
All right, so that wraps up this episode. So overall, I thought this is a little bit of on the duller side of episodes that we've seen so far. I went 4 out of 10.
I'm a 5 out of 10.
Okay.
I'm going to go 5 out of 10 also. You're asking a lot when you have 2 Corey Graves matches in one episode. Yes. I don't know what we did to deserve that. Yes. But they still kind of make it work, and that's impressive. So, yeah, real middle-of-the-road kind of rating.
Yeah, it was maybe not as – it's hard to say because I don't know in this style of, like, doing TV, if your episode right after the big show is always going to be your biggest one, because that's not usually – like, you know, I guess we're so used to, like – like with pay-per-views, it's like, well, you're supposed to come in hot right after the pay-per-view. But I feel like in this way that they're doing it, which is a little more old school, you kind of sometimes have that episode after the big show that's kind of a little bit of like, okay, let's like a little more low-key reset. And then kind I think reset, we'll see. We'll see things build as we go on to our next one, which is the March 13th, 2014 episode of NXT. So let's start with that one. So this one, we open up with a match, Paige versus Sasha Banks, who is with Charlotte. And unfortunately, we have Alex Riley back on commentary instead of Regal, which kind of sucks. So I think I mentioned this already, but it's interesting that so far, like, to me, these women's matches are the ones that have made me, like, go, wow, there's some serious star power in the ring. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think I've had that. Because we always have, like, a weak link in the men's matches, sort of. Like, guys who kind of just fizzled out. Where here you have, like, Paige versus Sasha Banks. Like, that in, I don't know, whatever, 2018 would be, like, a huge match. Which is kind of fun.
Should be, yeah.
Yeah. They're hyping that NXT has shirts now, which is incredible to think that there's the time.
Yeah.
They didn't have shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, we're on shop.com.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Merch, baby.
All right. This match, I thought this was a short but sweet match. I actually really enjoyed this one. I thought Sasha here was almost the exact opposite of what we just said about Corey Graves, and that she was, like, working over Paige, and I thought her heel offense was very good. And I thought Paige's selling was really good, and I like Paige's comeback, and then she wins with that awesome... as Regal called it, the Scorpion Crosslock.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
Which is a sick move, like we talked about on Arrival. So I really enjoyed this match. I thought it was a good, solid TV match. Paige wins. I went 2.5.
Wow. Oh, look at you. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Tim?
Shower of snowflakes here. Mm-hmm. So I was quite lower on it, but I mean, not for reasons that I didn't like it. I'm sort of with you and agree with your points in that Sasha doesn't really have moves per se just yet that she's developed, but she carries herself with a lot of confidence, so you feel like there's something to work with there. And I'm glad to see Paige really in the mix now, hopefully. I mean, I know this is going to be sort of a short-term gig for her, but it's just nice to see her on the weekly shows, since we didn't get that going into Arrival. It was just sort of, oh, and by the way, our champion Paige will have a title defense. So it's like, okay, here she is now. I'd like to see more of her. and actually get to know her as a character. And they put together a solid little match here. I think I just could have done with more of it. Like, it just felt a little bit abbreviated, right? Which, I mean, hello, it's just weekly TV. It's going to be. So I only gave it a star and a half. But, I mean, that's not to say it sucked or anything. It just, you know, you see Sasha Banks, you see Paige, to your point, it feels like a superstar caliber kind of match. And that's something I just enjoy as part of our podcast project here, is tracking the development of especially this women's division, where you have so many talents who don't have like that strong indie pedigree, right? It's not like Sasha did all this stuff on the indies, or Charlotte for that matter. They really are products of this development, of this in-house developmental system. And say what you will about that system, I know it's been criticized, but when it works, it really does work. And there's a formula to it, and we're going to see why that formula is deployed so often. Because again, I think when they really hit on something and someone with the skills and the potential, we get a lot out of that. So I just enjoy watching this development of these folks who really just come up through this system exclusively.
Well, I don't know if this is a shit take or not, but probably. I have never been a super Sasha fan. And I don't know, just for whatever reason, she just didn't click with me. I mean, I think she's good in this for healing it up. Like, I think she's a really good bully character. But I thoroughly enjoyed Paige pretty much tossing her around a lot of the time. I think that watching matches like what we watched in Arrival and watching this with Paige, it makes me really sad that we don't get, I don't know when her injury is in particular, but I know it's not too much. Like, I know her career is cut short, and that makes me really sad, because I would really love to see like years and years of her doing shit like this.
I put the same thing. I put in my notes that I'm going to miss Paige, and this mate, like you said, Arrival in this makes me remember like why she was hyped so much. Cause like, she really is good in the stretch.
She really is good. And she's so tiny, really, but she is so powerful and intense. Like, I, even in something like this, I just really am drawn to her as a wrestler. And I wondered about that movie of her, like, with The Rock in it. Like, is that worth a watch? I haven't seen it. It kind of made me want to watch it.
I haven't either. Yeah, I think it's streaming now. It's on Hulu or something.
I might have to check that out. Another live watch option.
Or Amazon, one or the other. Yeah. I've been meaning to get around to it. So,
but I give this match two stars, you know, just for what I saw here.
Yeah, because I think what we're going to – now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the reason we won't see her again is because she debuts after WrestleMania 30, like on the Raw, right, Tim?
Right. She is – yeah, she's that night after WrestleMania debut. So it was one of those – we didn't know it was going to happen, but they love springing those surprises on us on that Raw after WrestleMania, which, so, as we know, seen enough house ads to know that WrestleMania 30 is fast approaching.
Yeah, and so obviously they must have seen something in her, just like we have, because they kicked her up quick.
Arguably, that you could say that's one of the two early type call-ups. I mean, she actually, I mean, compared to a lot of the main roster call-ups historically that we're going to see over many years, she doesn't do too terribly badly. But, you know, you still wanted to see, like, that Charlotte match at the very least. It just feels like there was unfinished business there with Paige and NXT.
We'll miss you, Paige.
And I'm not even saying this last time we'll see her, but I kind of feel like it is.
Yeah. Okay, we get a recap of Corey Gray's Parade of Filth from last week. Backstage, Sammy says the issue is done as far as he's concerned. I always have this thing with Sammy, and it really stood out to me, I guess, because they were close up on his face. But his beard grows so close to his lips. It's kind of amazing. Like, I haven't seen it much. If you ever look at him.
It's that, like, top lip especially.
Yeah, like, it grows, like, on his chin. Like, most people, it's like they might have, like, you know, it grows in kind of this, yeah, some separation, or it grows in the soul patch, you know, a few guys. But, I mean, his is, like, fully filled. It's kind of amazing to see.
It is a gorgeous beard. Legit. Yeah, it's, like, it's a perfect length. It's perfectly groomed. It looks amazing on him.
Any thoughts, Tim?
You know, I've never made that observation myself, but I feel like I'm never not going to see it now, to where it just looks like the entire bottom half of his face is just all beard. And then he opens his mouth and you're like, oh, there is a mouth there.
Like a wolf man.
It's kind of cousin it.
A ginger wolf man.
Ginger wolf.
Yeah. Ginger wolf man. Ginger cousin it. I don't know.
Very good. All right. In the back, we have a Mojo hype package. He is in the locker room getting solo hype. To me, it reminded me of like a
solo hype.
Wow. Yeah.
That's all I like. Yeah. It.
He kind of reminded me of like Travis Bickle in Taxi Driver. Like, like he's in the room by himself. Like, you hype? There's nobody else here. So you must be getting hype. You
must be getting hype.
So, yeah, he's
he just stays hype.
Which is funny because they show this and, like, I don't even know if he's on this show. Like, I don't know what he's getting hype for. Because does he even wrestle on this episode? I feel like he doesn't even wrestle. I think he wrestles on the next one. So they're.
You know, you're right.
Yeah, so he's really good.
They put this promo in the wrong fucking spot.
Yeah, he is getting hype early.
He was super hype.
Like a week in advance.
Yeah, you know, it's part of the same tapings. I guess you show the live crowd knowing they'll see him anyway.
That's so funny. Yeah. I didn't notice that. That's hilarious.
Get it together, Full Sail.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Next up, we have our tag champions, the Ascension versus Travis Tyler and Cal Bishop.
As I wrote down, local competitors.
Local talents. So this is, you know, as we've seen, pretty much every time we see the Ascension, pretty much a basic power squash. Though I thought this one was a little bit too drawn out. Like, it overstayed welcome a little bit for a squash.
Typically, yeah, it's the case with them. It's sort of a trend.
And they're fine. They're pretty over. But I put that they desperately need a feud. They need something. Yes. I mean, they look impressive in the squashes, but they need to have something lined up besides facing Too Cool.
Right. I find this offensive, if I'm being honest, because I've questioned the Ascension before. Like, where's all this hype coming from? Like, what the fuck is going on? The tag division is non-existent. Yep. Who else do we have in a tag team? And we're not counting Too Cool because they don't exist. So, like, why all of this? Like, why these stupid squashes? Give these people some actual tag teams to fight.
Yeah, and they're kissing their ass on commentary the whole night.
I mean, nonstop. I'm like, shut the actual fuck up. I am done with this.
They actually did, like, okay, so you can't on commentary for a team that is obviously ripping off the Legion of Doom, compare them to Legion of Doom. Yeah, it's like a rule with bands. Like, okay, so if I'm if I'm a Journey. And I'm like, okay, I want to sound like Journey. You don't go and cover
a Journey tribute band. That's amazing. Yeah,
but like, or like, whatever. If you're in a band and you're like, your band is basically ripping off a famous band, you don't want to go play a cover of that band because it kind of exposes you as like, oh wow, this band's just kind of ripping off, you know, whatever. And that's what they're doing with the Ascension. You're kind of blowing up their spot.
Yeah. And especially when they look like an impoverished version of the Road Warriors.
Well, you know, their size is good. Like, they look really good.
Connor's size is good. Victor, I actually know them apart now, you guys.
Oh, good job.
Adding us in the back. Yeah. Victor looks, I mean, come on.
No, I think they have a presence. It's just against zeros. Like, it's overdone. Like, it's so stupid. Like, what are you doing? Of course you're going to squash Cal Bishop. Who the fuck is that? I mean, it's just nonsense.
And And why are they taking any offense from these guys? Like,
yes,
if you're gonna do a squash, this just do a squash. Why is it this drawn out thing where they actually even take bumps for these guys? Like, it's I mean, this should be illustrating the point of why the tag division is non-existent, because these guys are so dominant. They just take out everybody, have no offense against, like, this should be a flawless victory, and it just isn't. And this is not a one-off. I feel like this is a trend with the Ascension in these matches we've seen.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm kind of sick of it.
I was kind of like, as the match was wrapping, I'm like, okay, somebody's got to come out. I mean, it might not be the greatest tag team ever, but like, somebody's got to challenge them. And it just didn't happen. It's like, well, they just whoop some jobber ass again, and we'll move on. So I gave this 1 star, which seems like it might be high.
But.
Well, I was going to say, I gave it a 1.25 stars, which seems exceedingly high. I think because of some of the, I mean, they do have some sweet moves, the Ascension.
They do. I like their finisher a lot. It's just, you got to give them a better team to work on.
Yeah. Yeah. They need something to focus on. But okay. Next match, we get Mason Ryan versus, again, everyone's favorite cowboy, Wesley Blake. He's a real cowboy. He eats pork and beans and rides horses and shit.
Stallions.
And this is the match that Renee's out for. We get Renee for a men's match.
Here we go.
Yeah. I think it's just because Mason Ryan is real hot and she's like, I want to commentate this match.
Yep. And that's pretty much all. Yeah, that's like all she does on commentary is, it's like they, that's a good point, Jen. They just kind of threw out there to gush over.
Gush over how hot he is. Yeah. He is. So, yeah, I'm all for it.
Well, so
Top knot, a little bit of a problem for me.
Top knot.
It's too bougie.
Never could get on board with that.
We get some awkward mat work to start. They're really, like we said, they're really putting over Mason Ryan. And, like, I don't even know if they're not even putting him over, like, as a wrestler. They're really just talking about his body the entire time.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
He's jacked. He's so, look at him.
His muscles have muscles, Renee says.
Yeah. And so, Blake, this is another one where it's kind of a squash, but Wesley Blake does get a little bit of offense. And they don't give any name again for his finisher, which is like some kind of like, they just kept saying it hurt your spine. I don't know, Tim. That's all they said.
Damage that spine.
Yeah, and so spine, I don't know.
The great Jinder Mahal's finish, right? That Cobra Clutch Slam. That's trying to think who else has used that. It's sort of a generic big guy finish.
You can't think of something else.
It's an impossible question to answer.
I gave
it 1.5 stars.
I went 1.
I went also 1.5 stars. Because it's not like a bad
match
in the ring. It was just super heatless. You know, it's not like Mason Ryan has been on this big win streak or anything. So if they're trying to build him up, I guess this is a good way to get it started. But you just going in weren't sure what to expect from him. Because both kind of these guys have been real zeros.
An impoverished Dijakovic.
Yes.
See that. I was going to go impoverished Batista, but same difference.
So I've been watching a lot of early 90s WCW. And to me, he reminds me of like a, what was it? Like the Patriots, like Todd Champion. Like, it's a deep cut, but... basically just like a big guy with absolutely no like character or personality,
right,
really
exactly.
Besides that he's a big
guy. His body is his deal, so it's that's fine
coach.
Yeah,
so it's like just make he's a face too, like make him a heel, just make him do like the Lex Luger, like give him something.
No, don't give him anything to do with Lex Luger.
No, like the like he could be like he could be very vain.
Very
no,
vain.
I don't know.
Okay. All right. This is this promo. Okay. So we go backstage. Bailey is watching Bret Hart on the network on her iPad, and then Sasha and Charlotte come out to crap on her and crap on Bret Hart.
Oh my God.
And then
saying he's a roasting of Bret Hart.
Yeah, he's a stringy gray-haired man, which I thought was funny because Charlotte is saying that Bret is like this stringy gray-haired man when we have Rick coming in, and Rick is not like like Rick is looking like Mason Ryan.
No.
Yeah, so it's just funny that she's like, yeah, your old man, he's a or whatever. You're watching Bret, stringy gray-haired old man, and she's got Giggle Rick.
He looks like a homeless person, she says. Yes. I was dying. I mean, I just had this reflexive, like, humor for, like, Bret Hart digs.
For people shitting on her. Yes.
I was just like, and it was just so catty and just out of nowhere. And I'm just like, holy shit, this is amazing.
And I love that she stepped right over Natty's dad to take a dig at John Paul. You know, it's like, don't give a shit about Anvil anyway. So I'm going to make fun of Bret Hart.
It would have been funny if she had just like did a quick Neidhart burial. She's like, oh, your dad was fat.
So good. Your dad was fat.
But she really, I actually thought it was really good. Like Charlotte, she really was so cut. Good. Yeah, she was very mean. And so they continuing kind of with this, I guess like that they're bullying Bailey a little bit, like they're picking on her, and we still have Summer on a Stick present during Summer this also. Summer's still on the stick, which leads Bailey to do her Summer impression, which, do y'all remember the quote? What was it about something with cheese or whatever? I don't remember the exact quote. I didn't put it in my notes.
Something about she smells like rotten cheese.
Yes. Something cheese related.
Okay, so we're kind of sleeping on the Bailey of this all.
Oh my
here.
God. This is the most I've ever liked Bailey ever in my entire life.
And this is the first time we've really seen Bailey interviewed here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've seen a few Bailey matches, but now we're asking for Bailey the person to emerge. And it's a little bit uncomfortable.
Because it's hilarious. What are you talking about?
Well, you aren't sure what we're supposed to be thinking here. And because they talk about how Bailey's sort of childlike, you know?
So childlike. Like,
does she have like Robin Williams Jack syndrome where she's like a 7-year-old? Or wait, how old is he? How old is he supposed to be? Like he's like a 10-year-old in a 40-year-old man's body, and it's just sort of the equivalent of that here with Bailey.
No, I think it was like her actual attempt at an actual burn against these two bullies that I thought went over pretty well. It's fucking funny to me. They're ugly and they smell like cheese, she says. And I howled. I mean, I just thought that was so funny. But I'm falling for everybody's bullshit on this episode. So that's probably just me again.
No, well, I like the Bailey. I like the impression. I like her, this whole thing. I think the thing about this is, I think you still have to think about in the context of 2014, where it's like, we're still not that far removed from like the Divas era of WWE, and how different this is, like how refreshing maybe like the Bailey character would be with that lens of like, wow, okay, it's like she's just kind of like a goofball, that sort of thing. So I think I give her credit for that a little bit, that it is sort of a unique character that hadn't been really done.
Certainly aren't trying to sexualize her at all.
No,
You know what we are very far from, though, is, you know, it's the 800-pound girl in the room is the Eugene character, which is some ways in the
I don't think it's that extreme, though.
I don't either.
It's not. It's definitely not. But I think it's one of those things that inevitably that's what's going to get called to mind for anybody who's watched wrestling for any length of time.
Okay.
When you do this kind of thing. So I was just a little bit like, wondering, like, what are they really going for? Like, I don't know.
Well, then you get Natty coming in to Bailey's defense and trying in her silly Canadian way to smack talk. And just horrible at trying to smack talk, especially against giant-ass Charlotte. And then Charlotte totally cutting her down because she's known for drunk dialing her boss on a reality show. And I don't even get the context of that, but that's funny to me. Like, I feel like that's really funny.
Must have been a total diva storyline.
Yeah.
For sure. But I just loved it. Like, oh, God.
Well, Natalia kind of says, kind of alludes to, I think, Rick being drunk at his last appearance or something. Like, I felt like that's what she was going for.
She was like, I remember my uncle Bret Hart sitting around with everybody talking about all the glory days when your father was out of the promotion. It was like, what the fuck are you even talking about? This is nonsense. That's not
about
a burn.
How Bret beat Flair for the title and all this stuff.
Yeah. Dumb. Stupid.
And then
it
ends with the
works.
It's a Canadian burn.
It's a Canadian. It's the worst. Yes.
So it ends with the Natty Charlotte stare down. But I enjoyed the whole segment for what it was. I liked the Bailey thing. I'm cool with the Bailey character, and Charlotte was really awesome with her extremely brutal remarks. That sold it for me.
Yeah. All around, a lot going on here, but a solid segment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. So we will head back to the ring, and we are supposed to get Xavier Woods versus Tyler Breeze. It's supposed to be Rusev. I forget now. Now I'm getting mixed up. Well, I think it's supposed to be Rusev.
And then Tyler Breeze
shows up, and he asks Xavier Woods to leave so he can get his revenge. And then we get Nemanja. So Rusev comes out. And Breeze attacks Woods before bailing. And then Rusev just starts roughing up Xavier. So one thing before I get into this Rusev squash. Do y'all feel like, I feel like Tyler Breeze is like the most underutilized person here.
Yes.
A little bit, yeah.
He should not be wrapped up in anything to do with Xavier Woods right now. I mean, apples and oranges. Like, I'm not feeling
and we don't even see him wrestle much.
No.
Like, I feel like he doesn't really, considering what we've seen take up time, like that we got a 15-minute Corey Graves match, and like, I feel like a Tyler Breeze match is not that frequent.
No, it's really not.
This is going to sound weird, but point one being absence makes the heart grow a little bit fonder. Mm-hmm. So I sort of like that Breeze is not getting super overexposed out here every single week. Like some of these guys who were already a little bit over, you know what I mean? Like I always appreciate seeing Tyler when we do see him, and it feels like they've been teasing this match with Xavier Woods. So we saw the thing at Arrival where it looked like they were going to have a match, and then Rusev just comes out and kills them. And now they're like maybe teasing a proper feud between them with the pre-match stuff before Xavier and Rusev. So I'm like low-key looking forward to Xavier Woods match because I think it could be actually decent. Even though it does feel a little bit beneath where Tyler is now in the pecking.
Yeah.
But yeah, I still kind of want to see the match. I mean, let's just do it.
Yeah, I'm fine with seeing the match. I just feel like I feel like Tyler is being wasted as some sort of foil for Rusev, who they're really pushing. And for a good reason, because I do enjoy me some Rusev, but I just feel like somebody else can be in this slot. Like, let Tyler do something else, and let somebody else fuck with him and Xavier right here.
They should just totally keep him away from Rusev. You're right.
Yeah.
Or give Breeze a squash. Like, if we can watch a Mason Ryan squash. Like, he would have fun squashes. Like, he would take a selfie with
He did squash Mason Ryan.
Yeah, he did.
So, like, he's a really fun squash worker. So, just let him come in. I guess I just think with the stuff that they're used to fill time, we could use a little more. Because he's easily one of the best people to have, I think. So
Have him and squash Graves.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. But anyway, Rusev comes in, does his usual Rusev squash, and just completely brutalizes Xavier Woods and locks him in the accolade, and he taps. So I went 1.5 on this, because to me, a Rusev squash is just a tad bit better than your typical, because he's so good at this sort of thing, and all his stuff is really vicious looking. But he's another one, and I think he's going to be gone anyway, but he's another one that needs kind of more of a, if he's going to stick around, he needs something to focus on, I think. Some kind of feud or something.
Yeah, I gave this a whole 2 stars, actually. I don't know. I kind of like the chemistry between them. I wouldn't have minded seeing a little bit more. It's just knowing that Rusev is off to greener pastures, it feels a bit like he's slumming it still in NXT, and I'm not sure exactly why he's still here, but if you're going to give these guys a match, it's kind of as good as it's going to be. Xavier Woods is no slouch, but he is kind of floundering now, just in terms of needing some sort of direction. So, it does what it needed to do, but does beg the question of just why at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. So, we cut to Neville, who is then interrupted immediately by Bo Dallas. Bo says that they're going to have a rematch in 2 weeks. So now we have a time frame as to when this rematch is going to happen. And Bo says he's going to win because all of the Bo-leavers are the wind beneath his wings. he says that they are sick. He says that they are sick of Neville, which is amazing because he's been champ for about 3 days or something. But
right.
And then Neville gives him like a pretty brutal slap. And then Bo goes into like pissed off Bo mode and kind of gives his intense, angry, psychotic face, which is pretty good. And I thought this was a really quick, solid promo to build their feud, which is their rematch.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I did enjoy the slap a great deal. Was a little bit unexpected. I was like, oh, shit, This is like kind of intense, actually.
Yeah.
That popped me, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, they've had a good feud going back even before arrival. And I think they're keeping it going. They work well together as far as like clashing personalities, and it's cool to see Neville kind of get a little more, I guess maybe because he's a champ, like you said, it's a little surprised to see him slap him, so maybe he's got a little more confidence, like he's tired of both shit, I guess.
Yep, as we all are, I think, now.
Next up, we have Bo Dallas versus Colin Cassidy. Bo's out in his nice white tights. So this whole match, I really actually enjoyed the layout of this match. Like, it was kind of like Cass kept overpowering him, but like Bo keeps sneaking away with his normal cheap tactics. But I thought for what it was a little bit too long for either guy to really carry a match for that long, because this was kind of like a 10 to 15 minute sort of main event match. So, I kind of liked the way it was laid out and what they were going for, but I didn't think either guy kind of had the could carry a match this long. So, I went 2 stars on this one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I went 2.75 stars because I thought that Cass looked really good, and the crowd really liked him. They were all in on his misspelling of the word soft, which aren't we all? I think we all should be. And it was pretty standard for the most part, but Bo started kind of getting the upper hand and breaking down Cass's legs a little bit and trying to bring him down because Cass was pretty strong throughout most of the match. So, but eventually succumbs to the DDT, and I don't know. It was pretty good. I didn't hate it.
I didn't hate it either. Although I do think there was a bit of a time management issue here, where I think they told these guys to go a little bit longer than what they had maybe planned for, and that was kind of to the match's detriment. And I do like Big Cass, what we've seen of him, Colin Cassidy, excuse me, but felt a little bit exposed in this longer match kind of setting. I'm not saying he's horrible by any means. It's just this was a bit meandering, like in the middle stretch, and that's not all on Colin Cassidy. I mean, some of this is Bo maybe not being used to working a longer match either, and he's carrying most of the offense. We do get, and this is why I downgrade it a bit more in comparison to you guys, we actually got a boring chant from this crowd. I don't know if you noticed.
Yep.
And I feel like that's kind of a first for us on this journey. Just because these matches typically are so short and sweet, to the point you either see squashes or just little quick sprints, it doesn't give the crowd a chance to really turn on it. And it did feel like they actually turned on this match at one point. Not pronounced or anything. We're not talking like a Cena Orton situation, you know, at the Rumble. But still, I mean, for this Full Sail crowd to get a boring chant out of these guys is I don't know. That says something to me. So I went a star and a half.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I didn't totally hate it. I just, it stood out to me that it was so long, comparatively speaking, and that the crowd was like, fuck this.
Yeah, Bo doesn't have a great arsenal, I found. I felt like a lot of his, he goes back a lot to that, I guess it's like a flying, like forearm type thing. And I felt like, yeah. I feel like half of what Bo did was like pins. I feel like that was like half of his offense was just constantly going for a pin. And at times it felt like he was just trying to kill time, like by going for the pins constantly because he didn't know what else to do.
Yes.
So I'm kind of on a similar page as you, Tim. I think it was just a little bit too long.
Yes, I do have written down, it feels like we're trying to kill time / run the clock out.
Yes. All right. One thing we haven't talked about, like in this match they had it, I don't remember if they did in like the main event in the last one, but they're doing breaks in the main event.
Oh, so annoying.
Which is
why,
like on a network show, is very odd because I don't like, what is the reason for that?
Yeah.
It almost feels reflexive because they're so used to having commercials that they just think they have to do it and they don't.
Yeah, like they think it helps the match or something. Like, yeah,
no.
But that was weird. But all right, so that wraps up this episode. Overall, I thought this was a little bit better than the first one that we just covered. I went 5 out of 10, but I do think I feel like they're missing right now the what we got from that Sammy Cesaro feud. I don't feel like they have like a marquee undercard feud. I think the Bo Neville stuff is pretty good, but we haven't, I don't think we have anything else underneath that that's really firing up yet. Thoughts?
Yeah, I went 6 out of 10 on this because of the Bailey promo that I thought was tremendous.
Okay.
And
true.
And of course for the Paige and Sasha deal that we saw. But yeah, there was a couple of things like Ascension pissing me off here and Xavier Woods. But 6 out of 10 for me.
I will also go 6 out of 10. Feels a bit generous, but I did like it more than our first episode. So yeah, I don't want to give it another 5 and just say it's a better 5 than the other 5. You know what I mean?
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Which I could do, but I won't.
All right. Well, we have some fives that are better than other fives. That makes no sense, but
there we go.
Place to Be Nation has a lot of stuff going on. So, Jen, would you like to tell us about that?
I would. It's a couple of fives and feel different from other fives. Like the Place to Be podcast, number 548, where JT and Scott and their guest, Kevin, are back at the home office for a dive into the 10-1990 MSG House Show. That's a good episode with somebody featured on my podcast feed that we'll talk about later. On the main event, number 148, Scott, Nate, and Steve recap Impact Wrestling's Rebellion Show and then go back to 2002 for the next classic TNA pay-per-view recap. On the second episode of The Great Debate Wrestling, Andy is joined by Steve and Jordan Duncan and Chad Campbell to talk all sorts of wrestling nonsense. And the newest episode of the Special Relations podcast, the trio of mates, are joined by Sean Kidd, actual American Sean Kidd, to discuss the new normal, video games, the mafia, and a WrestleMania debate. So that's a fun episode. Scott and Dr. G are back with the latest NWA Saturday special, where they begin their greatest WCW match ballot research with a pair of Roddy Piper matches. And episode number 43 of Row One, Seat One, Ben is joined by Robert O'Neill to discuss his life of going to live wrestling shows. And there is a PTBN reaction show for this past week's Money in the Bank 2020. That is with Chris Zellner and Devin Hales. And then Rory McNamara, hey, I said his name right, is back with
Rory.
With his new series. It's called Senior Video. It's episode number 2. It's called Smack 'em, Whack 'em. And that is
great Coliseum video.
Right? I know. Mm-hmm. Him and his friend Ben Locke, they checked that out. So listen to that. Lots of this is a very international vibe on mm-hmm. Place to Be Nation recently. Mm-hmm. And I like it. It's different.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy with it.
Of course, you can also check out Place to Be Nation Pop. So we have great shows over there. The Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular. Diamond Conversations, It Was a Thing on TV. The Year in Pop, Laughing Theater. The Great Debate, Marvel Age. And another one, a new one that I'll be talking about later. And a lot more. So check out the Pop feed. Also, my feed is called The Jenny Position. So you can find my shows, Geek and Sassy, Talking Pop, Freak Out Drive-In. The Brother Sister Rewatch podcast with Kevin, who was recently on the Place to Be podcast, and The Journey Through Infinity. Mm-hmm. Of course, we have another podcast feed, in case that wasn't enough for you, brought to you by JT, Chad Campbell, and Aaron George. You can hear Wrestling Warzone, No Holds Barred, The Extreme Three-Way Dance, Jeff Learns Wrestling, Jacob, Your Ruthlessly Aggressive podcast.
Mm-hmm. And
on that feed. And we have officially kicked off our 2020 stretch project, determining the greatest WCW match ever. So you have the rest of the year to get that done, promote your matches, and build your list. Check out the Pro Wrestling Only message board or our Facebook page for more on that. And on our social media pages, the Fat Shit Tournament has begun. I've determined not to call it the greatest junk food tournament. I mean, if you're going to search it, search greatest junk food. But just in your mind, know it's called Fat Shit Tournament. Let's talk about today's matchups.
Let's.
This is what we're really here for. Yep. In the cookies region, round one, Oreos, the original Oreos versus number 32 seed Coconut Dreams by Keebler. Easy. Oreo, vote for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I do enjoy me some Coconut Dreams, but that's can't hold a candle to the OG Oreos.
Oreos, yeah. My pick to win this whole thing, so.
Yeah, I like Oreos. I'm kind of anti-coconut on cookies and cakes and stuff, so. Mm.
I'm very pro coconut. I'm not going to lie.
Me too. Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. Next up, Keebler Fudge Stripes versus Snickerdoodles.
Oh,
this is a tough one. This is a tough one.
Was pretty tough. I went fudge stripes.
Was not tough for me at all. I went fudge stripes, but I know that Snickerdoodle is kind of iconic and has its fans. Just never did it for me. So, easy choice on my part.
I also went fudge stripes. Snickerdoodle, I don't know about like a junk food package Snickerdoodle. If you the
Right.
fresh baked maybe, but man,
Yeah.
a fudge stripe with some milk. Man,
Man,
shit. I'll take
God
it down.
tier. Take it down.
Bunch of fat shits.
Well,
Cookies
Snickerdoodle
with milk.
also cookies.
Very innovative by Meek. Very innovative.
You'll take it down. Wow. I will say that the peanut butter Brickle is kind of an old school fat shit food. I feel like it I don't think it gets a lot of play with
No,
like
it's
our list,
terrible.
for example.
We have number 9, Intamin Soft Mini Chocolate Chip Cookies versus number 24, Lorna Doone. Give me a soft cookie every day of the week. So that was easy as well.
Plus, it's Intamin's, which is an
Yes.
automatic mark out for me.
Yeah. They're fancy as fuck, Jake.
Yeah, they're so expensive. Could you afford them?
No, I mean, no,
No.
probably not.
Mm-mm.
You
No.
can.
But it doesn't matter in this fantasy land where we get to pick all these awesome
Yeah, that's
cookies.
right.
I'm just going on their reputation because I've never been able to muster up,
Affordable.
never been able to muster up the dough for instruments. I'm actually quite upset that they're including the tournament. I feel it's
Just feel like it was discriminatory.
it's a classist maneuver by
It's a
Andy
class maneuver
by Andy Atherton, and
He is an elitist,
I'll
if
take it up with him.
Clearly.
All right, this matchup is what I've been waiting all day for us to talk about. Number 25, Golden Oreos versus number 8, Fig Newtons. Now, look, I like Fig Newtons. It's very niche in the world of cookies, but I have a soft spot for them. But it's still an Oreo, so I had to go Golden Oreos, and also they're pretty amazing.
We all love the commercials. A cookie is just a cookie, but Fig Newtons are fruited cake. It's like makes it sound like it's something really appealing and different. And I guess
I
it is
hate
different.
figs, so that's on me, I guess.
Right. I could fuck up a Fig Newton. Let's don't get me
It's
wrong, but
different. You know, it's a
it is
different
different.
flavor.
But
But like,
sometimes, different just isn't better.
you're
So I'm gonna
right.
I love those golden Oreos, man.
I
Me
know,
too.
right?
I'm a golden over original
Yeah.
person.
Oh, now that's a strong take.
I like the golden. Well, really, the ones that are really good is the uh-oh, where you get the chocolate frosting and the golden cookie. But
Oh.
that's but yeah, Fig Newtons. If you ever bite into a Fig Newton and you catch like the little pit thing, it's like
Oh, that's
it's one of
rough.
the worst experiences you can ever go through.
Yeah. It's like the popcorn kernel getting caught at the back of your similar experience, yeah.
So white, Jake, with your golden Oreos over your dark Oreos.
And we've gone from classism to racism now, this tournament.
Classic.
Just this one round.
All
No
right, I
comment.
think, yeah, that's it. So anyway,
Oh, that it? Okay.
join that group so that you can vote every day on those. Those are getting
And
a
that's
lot of
just the cookie. That's
vote.
just the cookie
Yeah.
Yeah.
round. We got a savory chips. What?
Salty treats.
Salty? Yeah. Man.
Lots of great matchups so far.
I'm very much enjoying it.
Me too.
I am too.
Because we're fetched.
One of our better tournaments, really, when you
Yeah,
get
I
down
agree.
to it.
So
More
you.
variety, than I mean, you had the candy tournament, but candy is candy at the end of the day, right? I mean, you've got your fruity candy, your sweet candy, whatever, but snack foods, I mean, there's a range of options there.
Yeah, a lot. So you can also find our new stuff, our new articles on placemanation.com. And so those would include Trent's SmackDown on Fox Report, This Week in the WWE by John Crow, Polly's Perspective and Ben's Unpopular Opinion, and veteran columns like Glenn Butler's Wednesday Walk Around the Web. If you're doing online shopping, go to Amazon.com, click on the right-hand side banner on the Place for Nation homepage. Nope. Yep. And it takes you right to Amazon, so you can do that and help us out a little bit. I almost did a good job on that read. So
you did a very good job on that read.
Excellent. I fucked it up at the end, but I'll take it.
The best job.
Thanks.
Well, unfortunately, we have to stop talking about
matches.
Yeah, and move on to this last episode of NXT, okay, which is the March 20th, 2014 episode. And we opened with some hype because we started with a Mojo Rawley match. Mojo is going up against Bull Dempsey. So the first thing, so I don't want to expose you, Tim, but Mojo, they said he was from Alexandria, Virginia, which is close to your neck of the woods. Are you familiar with Alexandria, Virginia?
I have family in Alexandria, Virginia.
Oh.
I feel like it's closer to Sean Kidd's neck of the woods.
Gotcha.
Place Me Nation contributor and listener as well. So I'm going to put that on him. I've spent a little bit of time in Alexandria, Virginia.
Is it a hype place?
Well, Richmond is more the impoverished version of Northern Virginia, which hosts Alexandria, Virginia. So I feel like I'm not qualified to comment. Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. Just wondering. Maybe I didn't know if you had run into Mojo.
Hadn't run into Mojo. Can't say.
Well, speaking of running, he's running around the ring as for his entrance, and we get a Rob Gronkowski sighting during all this during the match. Which even to this day, I was kind of surprised to see Gronkowski.
I know,
in the crowd here this far back. Yeah, but apparently
are they
and
like
Mojo,
besties or something?
Apparently so. But anyway, interesting gear, I thought, on Bull Dempsey. He kind of has, I said it was a very deep, very deep cut singlet. It's like a singlet that goes nearly down below his navel.
Quite Vader-like.
Yeah. And,
Bull Dempsey, he's somewhat Earthquake or Typhoon-esque in both his physique and his attire. So a little bit of a callback, a little bit of a throwback, really.
Yeah, that's what Regal said, that he is a throwback to a different era of wrestling.
This is true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we start off with Bull Dempsey beating the hype out of Mojo, but then Mojo regains the momentum, and then he wins with the hyperdrive, which is, like we mentioned before, not the most impressive finisher or a man of Mojo's build, because it's pretty much the Earthquake Splash, but he is does not have the gluteal girth of an Earthquake to make it look as impressive. But
Bull Dempsey.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So yeah, it was a squash. I actually thought through all this, like, I thought Bull was almost a little bit more interesting to me than Mojo, honestly. Yeah. Like, right. Even like how Regal said he was a throwback character, like, it kind of made me miss and wish that they would work that in more, instead of every guy being like big and muscular, like just have a
big fat chick. Yeah.
Yeah. A more rotund individual like Bull Dempsey, who is also quite hairy, like have him come in. But I thought he was like, he easily looked like he was a better wrestler than Mojo, but I want 1 star.
I gave it 1.5 because I thought that, you know, most of this shine was for Mojo, and I like Mojo. I think he's fun. He had all his family in the crowd. He had Grunk in the crowd. So it was a fun opener, and he brings a lot of energy, and the crowd was really into it. He's very excited to win. So I don't know. It was good stuff for me.
I went 3/4 of a star.
I gave it a star and a half.
I know. I would have given it a star. I don't like Mojo's finish. And I also don't like that he went over. I know that's saying a lot.
You also don't like him?
I also don't like Mojo. True.
Why?
But I think this is the best we've seen of him, to be quite honest with you. Like, this felt like more of a real match, like a almost competitive match, sort of a Hoss collision. But it was very short, and for a match that was sort of designed to get Mojo over, I would agree with you, Jake, that I think Bull Dempsey impressed me a bit more. Like, he showed some real fire in these 30 seconds that he basically had collectively on offense. And I want to see more from him. I think there's some potential there, even more so than Mojo, who just hadn't really done it for me.
Interesting.
When they celebrate at the end, we also get a great Regal line as, I don't know if this, I guess it was his, Mojo's family maybe, but there was an older lady amongst his supporters, and Regal said he wanted her number because she looked right up his alley. So he's like, I have to get to, can I get her number? She looks right up my alley. It's like a 70-year-old lady.
I bet she'd get it too.
Which was fun.
He's like staying in his lane. I can't.
He's like, forget Renee.
Forget Renee. It's never going to happen.
All right. So we cut to CJ Parker backstage. It was the first we see of him so far. Tucker.
Yes.
From Baylor.
Yes. It was Pamela Anderson, backstage at NXT 2014. CJ Parker, I put that he cleans up nice because he's kind of got a suit on here. So he's nice and cleaned up. He said he's sickened by Mojo's lifestyle and says that Mojo eats too much fast food. And that's the reason he doesn't like him. So
when he throws the wrappers outside the window.
Yeah.
And I guess he's a heel because he's I guess we're supposed to be like, hey jerk, I eat fast food too. And I guess that's supposed to be like you know, I guess
throw all my wrappers out the window
again. It's CJ Tucker is CJ whatever is one of these he's one of these really broad characters, right? Yeah. That they do. And it's he can't just be a guy who sort of cares about the environment and is a wrestler. Like, he has to be this overbearing asshole about it. So you're like, okay, this is kind of what they do.
Well, so, does he still look like he smells, even in the suit and cleaned up?
You know, he actually does not look like he smells in the suit.
That's so, I guess so.
It was also, I appreciated that it's like this very low energy interview from him, but it's this takedown of Mojo, who is just the opposite of that. So they kind of cancel each other out.
Yeah. So he says he's going to humanely dispose of Mojo, and then he dramatically tosses a piece of paper into a recycling bin. And I can't help but think it's symbolic of him tossing Mojo out. And so to sum up, we have a feud based on Mojo Rawley eating too much fast food. The crux of this feud, which
environmentalist takes great offense to.
What an asshole!
fucking idiot! Come on, care about the environment.
So next we think we're going to get Tyler Breeze versus Sami Zayn, which I would have been really excited for.
Me too.
And so we get another Regal, as he always does, talks about Tyler Breeze's coat. And this time he said it was made by a Bolivian tinker.
I was like, what is that?
Well, I looked it up. So dictionary.com, and I think this is the definition that Regal's going for. Before he gives a definition, it says British, and it also says, in all caps, derogatory.
Oh.
a gypsy or other person living in an itinerant community.
Oh, shit. Oh, my.
So it seems he may have...
sick burn. Real.
He may have used a derogatory term for it. A gypsy.
Wow.
Oh, he's amazing.
So, he glasses
there.
He said it was made by a Bolivian tinker.
And the material, by the way, is Peruvian chinchilla.
Yes. That cannot, CJ Parker cannot be happy about that.
No, or, absolutely not. They that's what, him in a few.
Yeah. Oh, man, we should be booking this. But anyway, before we can get to the match, Corey Graves, I guess he's really doesn't want us to ever see a good match, throws Sami Zayn into the post. And Sami is apparently concussed after this. He really does an awesome job selling it. And they really go all out on it. They get the medic guys come out and they like shine the little flashlight in his eyes. And he really looks like pretty screwed up. Like he looks super dazed. So he does a really awesome job of selling it. But unfortunately, he gets helped out. I was kind of disappointed we didn't get the match, though, kind of like what Tim said earlier. If those two are going to, I would like to see that be maybe a bigger match, like built up a little more. Mm-hmm. But it definitely seems like the Sami Corey Graves deal may be continuing. That feud is going to carry on.
I wondered for a minute if it was a shoot because they did a really good job.
I wonder what they would have done if he was shoot injured and they're shining the light and it's like
pouring the water on him,
selling or what
here? Do you talk about that ahead of time? Like, I'm fascinated.
He hasn't pinched my elbow in that specific way that tells me selling. Or like, I mean, they've got to have some kind of code for that, I guess.
But he's, it's like you go from like Xavier Woods / Rusev with Tyler to this random Sami thing. Sammy's already embroiled with Corey, but Tyler and Sami is what we'd rather see as opposed to any of the other stuff. I don't know. Very convoluted.
Yeah, it's like every time we think we're going to see Breeze, it gets cut off pretty much.
Sucks.
This is true, yeah. I wish they would not do this so much with him specifically. So we do get to see Tyler, which is better than not seeing him at all, I suppose. True. And I'll go ahead and lay it out there. I'm sorry that Corey Graves gets hurt and that cuts his in-ring career short. But at the same time, I am glad that Sami did not get wasted in like an extended feud with this guy, you know, because it feels like that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, maybe they have a match, maybe they don't, but either way, I'm kind of okay with not seeing this extended program between these two.
Yeah. Okay, so we go backstage, and Sheamus is backstage, which is a big main roster appearance. But he's immediately interrupted by Aiden English, who says that his whole reason for being in NXT is that it is a stepping stone to Broadway, which is an interesting 10-year plan to go from NXT to start a wrestling career with the goal of getting to Broadway. I thought it's kind of a fun sort of meta heel thing because he's basically saying like he doesn't even like wrestling, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
Like that he's so like gives him kind of heat because you're like, this guy doesn't even want to be here. Like, why does he even get a spot sort of thing? I guess could get him heat like that. Then Sheamus tells Aiden that his stones haven't dropped yet, and that's why he sings the way he does, and that's going to change tonight. Yeah, pretty good.
A dumb thing to say, given Aiden English's deep kind of baritone voice that we've... It's like, no, that doesn't make sense, dude.
Yeah.
I just thought the randomness of this is like, boom, Sheamus has been here like 3 minutes, and Aiden just suddenly just in his face, like, what?
Shitting on
him.
What is this? Yeah. Like, I have no idea, like... Is there a past here that I'm not aware of, which is usually the case, but just a very random sudden feud, but I'm kind of good with it. We're fans of Aiden English, and
yes,
we're
we
fans
are.
Of Sheamus, so, you know, let's see where this goes.
In this house, we support Aiden English.
We do.
So, this is paying off comments I made earlier about the disconnect that we see between certain characters in terms of their personalities and their in-ring abilities, right? And I think Aiden is kind of the inverse of that. He's sort of the answer to that question. How do you make this type of character work? Because he is very transparent. He says it right up front. I am using professional wrestling as a stepping stone to bigger and better things. I am going to be a big Broadway star. I am just here moonlighting as a wrestler. I'm a weekend wrestler, and I just want to get noticed so that I can make my mark on Broadway. And that really works for me. I can buy into that. I can see how, yes, he's wrestling as a means to an end. He has to be somewhat accomplished as a wrestler in order to just get featured on a consistent basis, but he doesn't really care about it. So I'm totally on board with that. And I mean, I've been on board with this guy as a character because he is so entertaining and so comes across so authentic, right? I just buy this guy as sort of this theater snob who's wrestling on the side. Like, that just comes across in a way that just seems genuine versus somebody like a CJ Tucker. Like, do I really believe CJ is this environmentalist dude who for some reason wants to be a wrestler, or Emma, who is whatever she is, who wants to be a wrestler, or Adam Rose, who we've been introduced to is whatever he is, but also a wrestler. I think that's the difference for me.
It's like he's made the move from it being a gimmick and he's building into more of a character as opposed to just like, well, he's a guy that sings. Like you said, he is more of it's more developed, which is good.
It is more developed. Yeah.
Right. To contrast, so we have Adam Rose match next. Adam Rose is, so we can compare again. So Adam Rose is out against Camacho, who is seems to be relegated to like not quite fully like local talent level, but very close to that.
I think just again name jobber status here.
And I think I saw Elias in the Rosebuds, or somebody I thought.
I just saw him.
Okay.
Yes, I think I saw Elias. Yeah, this will be fun as we continue to see how many people we can spot. So we get there's the rubber suit person, there's someone in a striped onesie, and so again, I think they're really trying to push that NXT is fun. Regal, was it Regal? Yeah, that's his. He has a strawberry around his neck.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're like, no, Regal, it's a rose. Rose. His name's Adam Rose. He's like, oh, I think it's a strawberry.
It's a strawberry.
Yeah. And again, Regal always trying to help these poor guys who are put in an enhancement role. He vouches for Camacho, saying that Camacho is a vicious competitor. So he's doing his best to help him. But so we get again, like we did in the last Adam Rose match.
I want to do what I can to help these underprivileged competitors out here.
Underprivileged.
He would never say impoverished.
So we get lots of Roses. Adam Rose kind of stooging around, does his rolls. We actually get a lot of Camacho offense.
His rolls.
Yeah, I mean. but Camacho kind of works him over the first part of the match. And I feel like in this match, they're trying to get over, like, what does Adam Rose do, like whenever he's not winning, which I thought was an interesting way to build it. And because at one point, Camacho, like, starts mocking him and doing the dancing. And then, like, Adam Rose, like, snaps on him. And then he kind of goes into his finishing sequence, which is like, he did like a Bronco Buster, but like only, except he doesn't like continue. He just hits him with the one. I don't know how to describe it. Yeah. And they had a spine buster and then his choo-choo clothesline is what I'm calling it because
choo-choo
they have a
clothesline.
Because
I like
he's,
it.
Yeah, he's a train. So a little more competitive last one, but I thought it was a little bit better because it at least gave us a chance to see what does he do when he's down, like when he's not winning in a match. And I thought that was good. So I went 1.5.
I would agree that it was a little bit better, and I enjoyed it more than you did last time. But yeah, I thought it was a little bit of a step up, and he showed a little bit more personality, like Tim likes, right?
Yeah.
That was convincing. But I gave it a star in 3/4.
Wow. I guess I must really hate this Adam Rose thing because I gave it a star. But I don't. I mean, I'm not really that. Honestly, I'm not that critical of it. I just, it isn't really hitting for me quite yet in the way that like an Aiden English is, where I really buy into Aiden English.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And I just, I don't so much with Adam Rose. I'm like, sort of understanding what they're going for, but it just feels a bit disjointed. So
I think I'm more buying into the like the potential of the character. Uh-huh. Like, kind of,
yeah,
like Tyler in the beginning. You know, like we all like really like Tyler in the beginning, but it's that same sort of feeling. Like this is a little bit weird and I will get into it, and I think I'm getting into it.
Yeah. I'm still sort of doing the, like, so I gave it a star basically for showing up. And it's just funny how after that Mojo Rawley opener, it felt like we went from smoking meth in the parking lot to, I don't know, doing Molly in the bathroom here with Adam Rose.
What's wrong with that?
Well, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just a little bit of a tonal whiplash here.
Well, continuing with that, we have Sasha versus Bayley coming up next. So Bayley mocks Sasha for wearing the glasses, and so Sasha gets really pissed off. And I felt like Sasha spent the majority of this match screaming.
Yes.
Screaming a lot.
So annoying.
Yeah, she was really working over Bayley, but I didn't like her. I didn't like her as much in this match as I did in the the Paige match. I thought it was a little bit like her offense was a little more rough. It was more just kind of, I felt like hair pulling and that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I did like on commentary during this that they were pushing that Bayley is too dependent on others. I thought that was a good kind of angle for her, like that she's like she needs Natty or somebody to help her, and that she needs to be more independent. I thought that was a good thing to start building in her character. And yeah, so basically Sasha worries about what's going on the outside because I think Natty and Charlotte, right, were outside, I think. And
yeah, they kind of got into it.
They kind of got into it. So Sasha goes to look at that, and then Bayley rolls up for the win. So I liked this for the most part, but I did not like it quite as much as the Sasha Paige match. So I went 2 stars on this one.
I was just a hair short of that at 1.75 stars, and pretty much for the same reasons. Once again, Sasha hasn't really developed or polished a move set at this point. She's sort of just all persona and ring. And again, she does carry herself quite well, but skills have a bit of catching up to do with Sasha Banks here. I think Bayley has definitely outpaced her in that regard. Mm-hmm. I also found the finish a bit abrupt, like, really, that's what we're doing here. It's the real story is what's going on outside, and they're just so distracted by that they can't keep it together. Like, it felt kind of paint by numbers. Mm-hmm. So wasn't happy with that roll up pin. And yeah, I mean, Not much else to say on it. It's just crazy to see that this is Bailey and Sasha like version 0.0.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, yeah. This is one of the things that for me will be interesting to track with these two, because
I'm not have a match that makes people's greatest.
Yeah, yeah, like WWE. People come all over themselves about some Bailey. And like, to me, I'm not a fan of either one of them. Her hair bow makes me want to kill myself. So I've just never been a Sasha fan at all. So I am extremely curious to see how they're going to get me to that iconic match between the two of these, whenever the fuck it is. It's in a couple years, I guess. But like right now, it's really, really hard to see. This is like the prototype of anything great.
You did say that you're kind of. Didn't you say you were kind of into the Bailey character? Like, is it working for you?
No, I was interested in that promo because that promo was fucking funny as shit. Gotcha. But when it comes to her in the ring, I just don't really care that much. And that was the only Bailey promo that I've ever liked. Gotcha. I feel like it was just a one-off for her. Like, it's just this perfect storm of, like, fucking crazy.
Yeah. That's what you say. By surprise.
Yeah, it was just like, what the shit is this? But
and with Sasha, I am very interested. Yeah, I am very interested to track your feelings on Sasha because I don't know. She's had such a weird up and down run, like in recent years. And I just remember at a certain point in NXT, it felt like she was on top of the world. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, like people talk about her like a god. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I've never seen anything that makes me think that.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm interested to track her development and sort of your feelings on her to see if it lines up.
Yep, same. Okay, so we get a promo package for what they're saying is next week they're calling it the next episode Vengeance. And the only reason I point this out compared to any other like hype packages, commercial things they show, is that it almost seems like they're building this next episode as sort of a mini kind of blow off, like takeover sort of thing. Like not full on, but like, I guess because by then it'll be about a month since they since arrival. So it seems like the next episode they want to kind of blow off or kind of get to some kind of next level with all these feuds. So definitely, I guess, building it that the next episode is going to be like special. It's going to be a big episode, I guess, which I thought was an interesting thing.
Unusual approach. Yeah. We also saw an ad for WCW's greatest pay-per-view matches. Optimistically titled Volume 1 on DVD.
I was thinking that would be good for our research.
Various
research.
It's hard to believe that these types of DVDs used to be a thing. Like, they're still pushing that during the network. Like, there's no fucking reason anyone would buy this DVD after subscribing to the network. I mean, it's called Greatest Pay-Per-View Matches, and from day one of launch, you could watch any WCW pay-per-view match.
Right,
so it's one of those. Yeah. Clearly, they produced it, and we're like, well, let's see if we can at least make our money back on this shit.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting to see them still hawking DVDs when,
that will end very soon.
Okay, so our big main event, Aiden English versus Sheamus. Aiden sings to the ring as he usually does. The crowd is very hyped for Sheamus because he is a fairly big star. As we've seen, anytime they get kind of a main roster star, which I guess it is cool to see like somebody like Sheamus in this tiny arena, especially at this point. They do not, on commentary, they do not think that, the crowd does not think that Aiden can make it to Broadway because they are booing him the entire time. So Sheamus takes the mic and he says, in Ireland, they celebrate when they sing. And so he starts to sing an Irish song, which I looked up is called The Irish Rover. It's the name of the song. Yeah.
Okay.
Doing the research.
Good job.
I kind of like how pissed off he gets while he's singing, because Aiden grabs the mic from him and then he grabs it back to him and he kind of gets more pissed off and continues his Irish song, which was kind of fun. And the crowd was really into this whole deal. But I really enjoyed this match. I thought it was really good. I like how Aiden came in hot. There are a ton of Regal was awesome in this match. He said that he's like looking at these two, it's like looking at a negative.
Yes, I have that written down.
They're so very pale.
Yeah. Also, he said after the 10, like how Sheamus does like the 10 blows or whatever, he said that Aiden's chest was redder than a bim. What did he say? A baboon's chub. He's like, Aiden's chest is redder than a baboon's chub, which is amazing. But I always love Sheamus's offense, though. I'm pretty big on Sheamus. I like Sheamus, but all his offense always kinda, is so
yeah,
it's always stiff and good. But I really liked this match how resourceful Aiden was. Like,
yes.
It's like he knew he was like overmatched, and so he just kept trying to pull out anything that he could do. But yeah, I kind of like the story of it. In the end, Sheamus still wins with the bro kick, which was I thought was fine. Because, I mean, you don't really expect Aiden. Like, I thought this accomplished exactly what you would want from, like, a bigger name main roster guy coming. And that, of course, Aiden's not gonna beat him. But I thought Aiden looked stronger after this match. And it was like what Tim said earlier. He's got kind of the I guess you could say, a little bit goofier of a gimmick with the singing and all. But he can bring it in the ring. And I thought it built his character well. I don't know. I thought this was good. I went 3.25.
He has like a slyness, like a little bit of a cleverness. And then Sheamus is more brawler. And so it's a good mix of them, like trying to see which one of those is going to win. I kept waiting for Sheamus to take his shirt off. And it took
Right?
It was bothering me so bad that his shirt was not
off. Like, did he get fat or does he have like liposuction scars or something? Like,
where they want to
keep this covered?
It's like when a dude wears socks in a porno. Like, what are you doing? Beat your socks.
Absolutely.
So eventually he does get his shirt off and it really does build. Like, it does a really good job at building. And Aiden like runs around the ring a couple times, like tries to escape just because he knows like this guy's going to kick my ass. And like, he's fully capable of it. And he eventually does. But even though we get another needless commercial in the middle of this for whatever reason, I thought it was a really good back and forth. And I really liked that bro kick. As opposed to our Mojo Rawley finishers, I think it's a pretty great Sheamus finisher.
Yeah.
So I gave it 2.75 stars.
Yeah, I gave it 2.75 stars as well. Really solid TV match. Good NXT TV main event sort of thing. And nice little showcase for Aiden, even in defeat here. Some wonderful Regal lines. I would concur. William Regal also saying that, I have such a man crush on Aiden English.
Oh, yes, God. He does.
He loves him. I put that Regal needed to change his underwear over Aiden English during his match.
Couple times, yes. His body, it's like it's sculpted out of ivory.
But isn't that funny, though? Because I would feel like Aiden is the heel here, and I always feel like Regal is a face announcer.
Regal is so roguish.
Is he a tweener?
He's so roguish. You never know where he's going to lean, and especially when, you know, someone is so cultured as Aiden English is in a match like this. That definitely is his type for sure.
I feel like he's more trying to, rather than pure heel or face, he's just kind of doing the Regal character. Like, who would Regal the character? The Regal character like? Which
that's
sometimes
brilliant.
Which is like usually the heel because that's kind of his thing, I guess. Or, well, I guess it's kind of, I don't know. It works I haven't really thought about it much, but I don't know. What he does is effective, so
it
I don't
really
know.
Is like
he's just
yeah,
he's
he,
playing.
He feels like yeah. He honestly he feels like the sum of William Regal, the wrestler's experiences, like over yeah. time. Like of course he's going to be somebody who marks out for cool moves and for the mat technicians because he himself was that, but there are also some real eccentricities to his character, especially when you get into the like Goodwill Ambassador stuff in the early 2000s, where he really comes into his own as William Regal, proper English gentleman. And it's just a play on all the WCW stuff as well. It feels like he's someone who's very conscious of how he's been presented to the professional wrestling audience over, God, the better part of almost 30 years, which is unbelievable to think, just in North America, right? I mean, as going back in his WCW run, started in 93, I think, and this is how long people who've been watching either WCW or WWF have known this guy, which is nuts. I mean, because you don't think of him as having that kind of exposure and longevity, but it really is there. And it's awesome. I believe he uses the term lithe at one point, which is a great, great word. And again, describing Aiden English. If he had just thrown in a svelte, I'd be changing my pants as well.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah. But anyway, that's the match. Good little main event here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Regal's, it's like you believe. He has so much credibility. It's awesome. He's added so much to these shows. But anyway. Yes. So for this one, I went, so we had, the main event was really awesome. I thought this was the best one out of this set. I went 6 out of 10 on this episode.
Yep. I was 7 out of 10.
I'm going to go 6 also, higher 6 than the last 6.
A higher six than the last six. All right.
I'm not going to go 7. I'm not going to go 7.
I see you, Tim Cable.
Yeah. That 6 is higher than the 5.
I feel like a 7. 7 is getting in on like a takeover territory, and I just
what?
That didn't look right to me.
I think part of it to me for it to get to that, I think you need to this. I'm not gonna hurt it too much for like the matches because you're not gonna necessarily get like amazing matches. I just don't feel like it's built things as well as, like I said, we don't have anything quite on the levels like Sammy Cesaro, which was like every week seemed like they had a really awesome segment and it was a really hot feud. I don't think we quite have anything on that level. So, all right, let's do some awards.
Let's do it.
Okay.
All right. Worst gimmick, I have Corey Graves, which is going to be a trend moving through this.
I'm going to shit on Xavier Woods throughout my awards here. Xavier Woods.
I'm going to go Jason Jordan. No.
piece of shit.
I think I'm going to go Mojo Rawley for worst gimmick.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Best, I got Aiden English because I thought his character's really coming along well.
Adam Rose.
Oh.
I'll go Aiden English for best. In terms of guys who really have a gimmick, you got to give it to him.
Hmm.
Or Adam Rose. I mean, he definitely has a gimmick.
Yeah. Best match, I went Sheamus Aiden, the one we just talked about.
Me too.
Worst match, I'm very stuck because there's so many matches where it's hard to say, like, was it really the worst? I mean, it wasn't a lot going on, but I'll probably go Mojo, I guess. Maybe.
No.
I don't know. Give me ideas.
Tatsu versus Graves.
Oh, I didn't count that as a match, but Oh, I would take that.
Hey, it counts. It counts.
If we count that, absolutely. It's landslide.
No, you know what? You know what the worst match is?
Okay.
Looking at my star ratings, which are very authoritative, as we know.
Yes.
I kind of want to go local competitors versus Ascension.
I also thought about them as well.
Same. We could.
Yeah, I hated that shit.
I get on board with that.
Just because, like, it wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen. Work rate wise, it probably wasn't even the worst thing on the show. But just in terms of what they should be doing and what they're not doing, it just feels they're fucking up.
I changed my answer. You're right.
We'll go with them. We'll follow your authority, Tim.
Because I mean, at the same time, Camacho and Adrian Neville. Oh, it's it's a nothing match. So who cares? Mm-hmm. But these are our tag team champions that we've seen on multiple occasions have this same stupid ass shitty match. And we need better at this point.
Stock rising. I have Aiden, Sammy, and I put Sasha too. Because like we said, she hasn't been the greatest, but I feel like we honestly have not even seen a lot of her before this. So I went Sasha also. Rising, falling, Corey Graves, and probably, I'll leave it just Corey Graves. Everybody else is okay.
I've got Rising, Charlotte.
Yes.
Good one.
Paige. Sammy. Actually picking up a win here, so building some momentum. Stock falling. Xavier.
Yes.
Probably Corey. Although he's still in the mix anyway, so
he is. I mean, he's in a feud with Sammy, so
yeah, it's hard to say he's really. Well, we don't want to see him, but I don't know that his stock is necessarily falling, but you know whose is would be Emma.
Yeah, that's good. That's good choice. Yeah,
she almost seems like an afterthought to like Sasha and Charlotte and all now and Bailey. Yeah.
It's like she lost at the big event arrival, and then she loses again the next night, and then just we don't see her.
Yeah.
Good. And
I don't know. I'm trying to wonder, do we see her again? Because she's one of those main roster call-ups, too. Really.
Yeah. All right, MVP. I was very stuck on this one, but I think I'll give the nod to Aiden. I was stuck between Aiden and Sammy.
Yeah.
But I'll give it to Aiden just because I thought he took advantage of a big spot and really did a good job.
No, I went with Sammy on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my gut is telling me Sammy. But there's not like one huge standout or the rest.
I thought you said my God is telling me Sammy.
My God is commanding me.
Yeah, I was like
Sammy. No God. One else. Yeah. Honestly, it's Regal. If we're choosing outside of matches, it's sort of Regal kept me hanging on here.
Yeah, I think if you do commentary, I'm always hesitant to do commentary because it's like they get so much, like they have so much opportunity to add to it. But he's killer. But LVP, Corey Graves, sorry.
Xavier Woods, sorry.
Yoshitatsu.
Oh, poor Yoshi. He got thrown into the steps and
that's the end of it.
Best moment. I have the wild backstage segment with the women with the
Bailey promo. Yes.
And the Charlotte like brutal
God,
comments.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Definitely. Although I will say that Neville, fucking stage four Brundlefly Neville with all of his. Self owns about his appearance. It's like
Elf Man.
More like Adrian Chudville.
Shudville. Is that a New Alexandria, Virginia? Shudville?
Yes. Yes, near Yogaville.
Ask Sean Kidd.
I definitely did not enjoy that, but it was a standout, no doubt.
All right, well, that wraps it up.
Oh, boy. That was all a right. lot, you guys.
That was a lot.
But so, you know what? Like, I love this. Like, I texted you guys today. I'm like,
yeah.
I love NXT. Like, I do a lot of wrestling shows, and I'm, like, chronologically watching, you know, a lot of shit, and this is by far my favorite. Like, NXT is just my wheelhouse of greatness. And they're always really fun watches, and I'm always look forward to talking about it with you guys. It's just a joy, like, regardless of whatever else, like, it is really fun to dig into this.
That's very good. Yeah,
well, you know, definitely it's like pulling teeth to. Yeah, it's like pulling teeth to get anything out of us. We're, you know, we're just
yeah.
so stoic here on these episodes.
Yeah,
I will say that our hypothetical listener probably threw their pen down and threw their hands up about an hour and a half ago, thinking, well, it didn't go better than the last time, but hopefully they'll tune in once again in hopes that we'll have a serious, no-nonsense NXT wrestling analysis conversation.
I thought we do pretty fucking on spot with our analysis.
We get star ratings, you know. What more do you want?
Fuck. Exactly. This is the host of the Ruthlessly Aggressive podcast right here with Jacob Williams. And that is Chad Campbell's favorite podcast right now. So
got the Chad rub.
What the fuck else do you want?
Okay. Got a Chad rub. Yep. Got some deep cutting analysis here. So, yeah. I mean, not to toot our own horns, but toot,
motherfucker.
Well, other than this show, you can find me doing that podcast, the greatest podcast in the history of man, the Ruthlessly Aggressive podcast. You guys want to drop your plugs? That's not a euphemism.
Wow.
I like to keep my plug words.
I had to drop my plugs because the electrical socket is actually ejaculating right now, so... It's very unsettling. I don't know quite who to call for that. Perhaps an
impoverished CM Punk.
I don't even know. Listen to all the great content on the Jenny position, which I'm sure Jenny will tell you all about.
I love how you're plugging my feed, but yeah.
Yes, because I'm a part of many of your shows on the Jenny position.
That's true.
And I know that you look forward to telling our listeners all about them.
I sure do. It is called the Jenny position, and Tim is on a lot of my shows there, if you didn't know that.
That's a great talk and pop.
Yeah. The Journey Through Infinity.
Talk and Pop.
Yes.
Journey Through Infinity.
There you go. Are you on Skype? Or not Skype.
I'm on Skype right now.
Are you on Twitter?
As we speak. Can you imagine? I am also on Twitter at Psyche68, C-Y-K-E-68 on Twitter. I feel like we're forgetting something. Oh, talking WCW on... Yeah. Place B Nation Wrestling feed, where you're hearing this very show. Place B Nation Wrestling, as you know, has a wide variety of great content. Jenny and I do a show with our great friend Greg Phillips, and give you a preview coming up. We're going to be talking on our next episode the WCW career, three matches we have picked out for the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
Looking forward to that one. Have you picked your match yet?
Not exactly. I have a few matches in waiting because I kind of want to see where you guys, as often.
as you often do.
Do you have your match picked?
I do not. I was waiting to see what you picked.
Okay.
Yeah. So ready to figure that out at some point.
We'll see. In other words,
I think DDP will be represented either way.
Well, DDP has already been represented.
Exactly.
Because we did a dedicated DDP episode, one of which was against Randy Savage. Mm-hmm. Although they had several matches, we could always revisit that. We'll see.
You never know. You never know with us.
I can tell you that's not one of my... I don't have another DDP Savage match on my short list, just in the interest of...
Okay. That does help me. Yes. Thank you for that.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well,
that was a private conversation that we just included.
Check out Talking WCW. You know where they're going for the next several months. But this has been a pleasure as always.
Always.
My rosebuds. So that will do it for this episode of PTB NXT. RIP Jerry Stiller. All right. Serenity now.
Set sail from the sweet cove of Cork. We were sailing away with a cargo of bricks for the Grand City Hall in New York. 'Twas a wonderful craft, she was rigged for the lap, and oh how the wild winds drove her. She stood several blasts, she had 27 masts, and they called her the Irish Rover.
We had 1 million bags of the best lawyer rags. We had 2 million barrels of stone. We had 3 million sides of our blind horses' hides. We had 4 million barrels of bones. We had 5 million hogs, 6 million doves, 7 million barrels of porter. We had 8 million piles of old nanny ghost tales and a whole of the Irish Rover.
There was old Mickey Coote, who played hard on his flute when the ladies lined up for a set. He would tootle with skill for each sparkling quadrille till the dancers were flutered and bet. With his smart, witty talk, he was cock of the walk, and he rolled the dames under and over. They all knew at a glance when he took up his stance that he sailed in the Irish Rover.
Of the leader was Hogan from Kelsey Town. There was Johnny McGurk, who was scared of work, and a man from Westmead come along. There was Slugger O'Toole, who was drunk as a rule, and fighting Bill Tracy from Dover. And your man, Mike McCann, from the banks of the Bund, was the skipper on the Irish Rover.
For a sailor, it's always a bother in life. It's so lonesome by night and by day that he longs for the shore and a charming young whore who will melt all his troubles away. All the noise and the rout, swilling, pushing and stout, for him soon is done and over. Of the love of a maid, he is never afraid, but outsold from the Irish Rover. We had sailed 7 years when the measles broke out, and the ship lost its way in the fog. In that whale of a crew was reduced down to two, just myself and the captain's old dog. Then the ship struck a rock, oh Lord, what a shock. The boat, it was turned right over. Turned 9 times around, and the poor old dog was drowned. And alas!